Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Please welcome to our studio, Carlos Mencia. Yeah.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. How you doing?
I was laughing my ass off on the way with the Irma Gerd. That was hysterical. Only because it reminds me of my dad. My dad actually texts in an accent.
Really?
Yeah,
are
I swear
kidding?
To God.
Yeah.
I swear to God. Like, he got mad at me the other day, and he wanted to say a bad word to me.
Yeah.
But he spelled it F-A-H-Q. And I had to, like, say it out in my head. And I was like, are you serious? And then I called him up.
Oh, that's funny.
And he was like, fine. And then, yeah. You know, I was like, wow, that is awesome.
That's pretty savvy for the old man.
Yeah, it really is. For somebody who can't spell.
Hey,
that's
look,
pretty cool.
Just the fact that you're using the technology, like, I had to, like, pry my dad into cell phones and crap like that. It was a monumental chore just to get him to start using this. So the fact that your dad is at least attempting is cool.
Yeah, he does. But he's like so funny because like he was reading Mary Had a Little Lamb to my son and he was getting mad because my son couldn't understand what the hell he was saying.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? So because I had to go to the store. So I was like, can you read this? Because I read this to him like right before he goes to bed.
Right, yeah.
He won't be asleep, but I'll get back. But before,
sure.
Just read him the book. So he speaks to him in Spanish and tells him to come over. And he's like, ven acá, whatever. And then he goes, Mary had a little lamb. And my son's like, what? And he goes, a little lamb, stupid. A little lamb. And then he's telling me, your son is stupid. He doesn't know what a lamb is. I'm like, what is... He's the funniest dude I know.
Now, so the accent hasn't... Because I know some people, it's... I guess a lot of times with the Spanish accent.
Well, that's not a Spanish accent. That's a Honduran Mexican
right,
accent.
Yeah.
My dad would never be the bumblebee. You know, there's two different accents.
He wouldn't be the bumblebee.
Well,
yeah.
Like chicks love Spanish accents.
Yeah.
But that's the more Spanish. The one. What are you guys was doing one earlier? Spanish, like hello. You know,
like
how are you?
Right,
yes.
Antonio Banderas.
Let us go.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's not sexy. It's sexy when it's that guy. You know?
Yeah.
I was looking at you from across the room. Sexy. It's not sexy when it's like, I was looking at you from across the room.
You're exactly right. Because we just naturally default to, you know, and there are just stereotypical accents that you just fold into. But, you know, we were talking about even just like if you go to England, there are different slight nuances where they'll be able to pick up on it, you know, and it's easy. But to us, it all just sort of sounds the same. Oh, yeah, that's... That's a Mexican accent, right?
Right. No, I got to know the difference because I travel around America. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? I have to have a different, like, my Spanish guy changes depending on what region of America I'm in.
Now, do you speak Spanish fluently? Are you?
Yeah, but I don't even mean that. I mean, if I'm doing an impression of somebody who speaks Spanish in English,
right.
it has to change.
Yeah.
See, you know, let's say last week I was in Vegas, it sounds more like this, you know, but over here, it sounds more like this because it's Puerto Rican. And
then if
I go down to Miami, it's Cuban. It's a little, so you have to, like, adjust it slightly. Because I'm from Honduras, which nobody knows where that is.
Right. Yes.
Honduras is one of those places where in America people are like, what part of Mexico is that?
Like, what part of Mexico is Honduras?
Yeah, exactly. I don't even fight it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even fight
it. And you come from a huge... You're one of, what, 18?
I'm 17th of 18.
17th of
18. Can you
18.
Name all your siblings?
Yes, but whoever I name last, I got to write a check to, so I don't do that anymore.
Oh, no kidding.
Really?
No, I swear to God, because wherever I go, dude, there are people... I have family or friends of family. Doesn't matter where.
Right.
Doesn't matter. I was in Reading, bro. Reading. That was the last place I thought. My sister Martha was the last one on the list of 18. Dude, I got off the air. And remember when you broke your arm? Who took you to the hospital? I did. And you're going to say last? I'm the last one. What about Dorka, that bitch? And I was like, oh, my God. Man. Are you serious? So that I had to write a check.
Well, I need to ask because I'm only one of four, and right? I have three kids. And I just remember, you know, my sister's Jody, my brother's Dave and Kevin.
Yeah.
My dad would be like, Kevin, Dave, Jody, Casey. You know, so like when he was trying to yell at us, and I'd do the same thing.
He would just do an umbrella yell to cover you all.
Well, no, he would just get the name wrong. So I'd be yelling at my son, and I might call him both of my daughter's name before I get to my son's name.
Yeah.
I don't know if your dad ever had that problem, and he would have to rattle through.
You know what my dad would do? He would say two names wrong, and then he'd just call me an effer. I'm not even kidding. He'd be like, Joseph, man, you effer. Come here. And then I come over.
Cut to the chase.
Yeah, he was
universally applicable.
Yeah. Oh, they do that all the time. But the creepy part is my mom and dad talk about having sex all the time.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Which is really creepy.
Yeah.
But I can't say anything, really, because they have 18 kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, like literally about 2 months ago, I went to my dad's house, and he's literally like, hey, you're not going to believe what I did to your mom last night. I'm like, seriously, bro? Come on, Dad. And then he gets mad. I'm sorry, you don't know we do it. Look around. You don't know we do it. And I'm just like, and I go, Dad, I know you have sex. As a matter of fact, I think it's healthy. Yeah. I really do.
Sure.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I just don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
And my dad's a smartass. I'm not even kidding you. He goes like this. So fine, you don't have to listen. Smell my finger. And he puts it like, he rubs my nose.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, did you see her? And then my mom's like, if you only knew. Rick, shut up, Mom. Like, they're so much funnier than I am. Like, I'm tame, if you ever met my family.
So they're actively frisky and still doing the deal.
My dad walks halfway up the steps still, looks down and goes, don't come upstairs. I'm going to bang your mom.
Really?
Not even
he
joking.
He says bang?
Bang your mom. He says bang. Because he comes to see me perform.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he gets all my language and uses it himself.
He can't say lamb, but he can say bang.
He says bang. I'm going to bang your mom.
You know, that's what he says. The fact that he's bragging about it is so awesome.
Isn't it?
That he still digs it that much with your mom, you know?
I mean, and he's good at it. He's good at it because my mom doesn't do that woman thing where she demeans him for it.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Where like most old couples.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to you. And she'd be like, okay. Like that. You know what I mean? When my dad's like, I'm going to give it to her. She goes, he is. You know what I mean? Like, damn. You're good, bro.
But I love
he's awesome. He's on fire.
True, yeah.
I love how he says it like a friend would say, like, yo, I banged your mom last night.
He does. Yeah. He totally does. And it's so, but it's so creepy to me. I just like my brothers and sisters think it's funny, and I do too, but I don't like it.
I have the mortifying image of all time seared into my brain. I caught my mother making mouth love to my dad.
Sure.
And that image is burned into my mind. So you're still ahead of the game on that.
Well, the interesting thing is when I was in high school, I came home because I was taking an AP, economics class.
Right.
And the teacher wanted me to do an extra credit report. And she said, if you do this, I guarantee that you get the 5 and you won't have to take it
as a course
when you go to college. So I come home and I tell my dad, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's an economics class. There's no Social Security in Mexico or Honduras where you and mom come from. And you raised us to believe that we got to take care of you.
Right.
So how influential was that in your decision on having 18 kids? Because by having 18 kids, when you get older, we're going to take care of you. And my dad said the opposite of what you just said. I go, why'd you guys have so many kids? Because your mom doesn't like to go down. That's exactly what he said it in a dirty way.
Oh, really?
And I was like, what? Are you serious? And he's like, do you think we would have this many kids if she would do that for me? I was like, all right, dude.
And he was always that candid. Always.
So then I went to my mom. Right. Well, first of all, he goes like this, and you're going to put that in a report. And I'm like, I'm not going to put that in a report. And I said, why would you want me to put it in a report? This is literally my dad. He's like, because I know you're going to have to read it out loud in class. So here's what's going to happen. You're going to say it. The kids are going to hear about it. They're going to talk about it. They're going to go home. They're going to be talking about it. The parents are going to hear the kids talking about it. Then they're going to talk about it. Then everybody going to be talking about it. Then your mama going to hear about everybody talking about it. Then maybe she's going to do it. I was like, are you serious, bro? So I go to my mom. This is how crazy my family is. I go to my mom and I say, Mom, Dad's being an ass. This is for school. I'm serious. Why'd you guys have so many kids? And she goes, go tell your father. I'm not going to do that. I don't care what he says. She knew exactly what it was about.
Wow.
Like,
funny.
Yeah, they're the funnest people on the planet.
So growing up, you had
They beat me so bad.
They beat the crap out of
you. Oh, so bad. She tried to stab me one time. You can actually see a little scar that goes right here.
That's not a little scar.
Are you
kidding?
It's
a big scar, dude.
Yeah. Oh, you want to see a good one? This 15 years old. Check the back.
What is that?
Yeah. Right there.
What is that from?
That's a big scar.
That was from somebody stole a quarter from my mom's piggy bank. And she got really pissed off. And back in the day, iron cords were round and wrapped in cloth.
Yeah, yeah.
She dipped it in boiling water and hit me.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Wait, you're serious. They really did beat you.
Wow.
I just showed you this car. What are you talking about?
I thought it was a joke.
No. No, so, of course they beat me.
Did all 18 get the beating?
No. See, that's the not cool part. That my brothers and sisters who were older got my mom a little, you know, when she was still, she still had patience.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I'm 17th.
Right.
You know what I mean? I got the thunder, bro. My mom had no patience for me. My mom would smack me and then tell me to do stuff. She wouldn't even wait for me to not do it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I literally remember getting smacked with a wooden spoon. Bam! What? Throw the trash. You haven't even told me to throw the trash. Like, let me not throw the trash before you beat my ass.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And my dad. And see, but you got to understand, like, my father is the kind of guy. This is my dad. My dad got his thumb cut off in an industrial accident at 3:48 p.m. The next day at 7 in the morning, he was at work.
Jeez. Oh,
without a thumb.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of
work,
you know,
ethic. Yeah.
I can't even go to my dad's house and be like, man, it's hot outside. He'll just put out his thumbless hand and go, how hot is it? It's like, really, dude? I can't even complain.
How old is he,
about
Carlos?
That? I don't know. He's like 70-something now.
70-something?
I don't know exactly what he is. Yeah. He lies all the time.
Well, the question I was going to ask is, at any given point with that 18 kids in the house, how many were there? Was there a point when you fully had 18 kids in the house?
Listen, this is embarrassing, but it's a true story about my parents. This will explain a lot about my parents and about me.
Yeah.
And why they were so strict with me. They were more strict with me than with any of the other kids because I was pretty smart growing
up. Okay, all right.
So what happened was when I was eight, they put all of us against the wall. My mom did. And she looks at me and she goes, step away from your brothers and sisters. Move away. Look at them. Mm-hmm. Now look at me. You're smarter than them. You're better than them. And if you work hard and apply yourself, you can make a lot of money in this country. And then she looks at my other brothers and sisters and goes, you guys go to church and pray. He makes a lot of money in this country. I swear to God, dude.
So you guys all of you? Are you guys all
close?
Dude,
I would be a millionaire if it wasn't for my family.
Yeah.
No, I'm not even kidding, bro. I'm a 100,000-aire, but...
So you're sending money a lot.
Oh, bro, come on.
Support him.
Like every... I am the Bank of Mencia. I have two phones. I literally have a family phone and like a phone for, you know, for business.
You know what, though? I do notice my wife worked with for a number of guys for a while who were from Honduras, and they were here busting their asses and sending money home. That's constantly what they did. I mean, that was the big thing. And I mean,
there's a lot of guilt, too, though, by the way.
Is there?
Oh, God. Like, I was raised like that,
yeah.
You know, to believe that I'm the one and I got to take care of the family. Mm-hmm. Like, it was always like that. Like, every once in a while, my mom would make food, right? She would make pots of whatever it was. So every once in a while, she would make food and I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, Mom, I don't want anybody else's, but if there's any extra,
right, yeah.
I would love some. And she did this to me a few times where she would be like, no problem. And then she would bring me a plate of food and she would just stand there by the table, just staring at me. And I would just inevitably look up and go, what? And she would say, just remember, today I didn't eat for you. Like, oh, what? Are you serious, man?
Wow.
Like, that's the kind
that's
of
worse than Jewish guilt.
Oh, yeah. That's way worse than Jewish guilt.
Yeah.
That's like Jewish Catholic guilt mixed into some beaner pie of non-humility. I don't know.
So with that, I mean, I assume a very religious family. 18 kids, I assume.
Yeah, always, yeah.
So were you
church every Sunday? Whole thing. Except my mom's really religious. My dad thinks it's stupid.
Really?
Yeah.
dynamic occurs periodically.
Did any of the older kids? They say if you have that many kids in the family, they actually help raise the younger ones. So do you remember any older brothers or sisters?
Oh yeah, my sister Anna, man. She's like. She hates that I don't treat her like my mom.
She's like vice mom.
Because she's basically like, I'm your mom. Mom was working. I was there for you. You know.
Yeah.
So I've written big checks to her. 30 grand, whatever.
So, wow. Carlos, in between beatings and whatnot,
Now, you obviously
and stabbing.
You got
and
a lot
stabbing.
Of your sense of humor from your mom and dad.
Of course.
Were you making them laugh as well? Did they find you funny?
No, I'm not a funny guy.
Really?
No. I work at it. I'm not good at it. I mean, I'm good at it on stage.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But part of it is because it's learned. I'm not naturally
funny.
Not
your natural personality.
Oh, okay. No. I got brothers and sisters who are literally really funny.
Huh.
But as soon as you turn on the camera,
then
they freeze
or put them on stage. They have no clue whatsoever on what to do.
Where was your first time on stage?
Was at the Laugh Factory, where Daniel Tosh, I guess, got in trouble the other night.
Yeah.
Stupid. He should not be. Why are comedians? Hey, comedians out there, stop apologizing for jokes. Seriously. I could understand when regular people say something, but our intent is to make you laugh. If we miss the mark, sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like if I have sex with a girl and I'm not good at it. I'm sorry. I tried. Like, I'm not going to say sorry. It's not good, man. It's not good for comedy because people are starting to take us way too seriously.
Well, yeah. I agree because I read the girl's blog before I had read his apology. And she just, you know, she was complaining before she even got to the club. And she got to see Dane Cook and Daniel Tosh, two of the top comedians out there. And she was complaining about that.
Yeah.
And she had never even heard of Daniel Tosh. And then,
for those who don't know, he made a crack about rape and gang rape. And his line of the way he was going with it was that you can basically turn anything into a comedy bit or have it be funny.
You can, though.
And he didn't get to finish when she said, hey, rape's not funny. She stood up and said it. And then it turned into a back and forth between the two.
Yeah, but, you know, first of all, don't heckle, bitch. Seriously. Like, what we do is art. And just because we're good at it and it makes people think like we're talking with them, not to them, it's still a performance. You know, we're the only art where people feel the need to yell stuff out. Nobody would ever go see Romeo and Juliet during the balcony scene where she's like, Romeo, where are four out there? Nobody would ever be like, he's under the balcony, bitch. I mean, nobody would ever say that. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, leave us alone. And if you do open your mouth, we're going to talk to you.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be nice sometimes because that's not what we do. Don't come to a comedy show if you don't believe in freedom of speech and what we do, and it's a joke.
Well,
it
doesn't hurt to know exactly the person you're going to be seeing. Daniel Tosh does that kind of stuff, and he pushes the boundaries, and that's his deal. And George Carlin used to do a great bit about how you can make anything funny.
But you can.
So I do
jokes about rape.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
I got raped. When I was a kid, and people laugh at it.
Were you legitimately?
Yeah.
Really? I had no idea.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
By a priest, but whatever. You know?
Okay, all right.
But see, the way I look, I'm like positive, man. The way I look at it is I did a priest, I'm going to heaven. So I'm like, I'm cool with it, man. You can laugh, but what have you done for Jesus lately?
Right.
So see what I'm saying? Like, but that's where the hypocrisy for me. Like, if I do a joke about Hispanics, Mexicans, everybody thinks that's funny.
Right.
If I start talking about black people, ooh, you're on the edge.
Right.
Now black jokes are okay, but gay jokes are not.
Right.
You know, there's always somebody that you can make fun of and can't make fun of.
Yeah.
I just don't agree with that. You know, I've been to Iraq. I've been to Afghanistan. I performed for the troops. I took the test. I'm a citizen.
Yeah, I
have freedom of speech. If you don't like that, go to some other country. But we've become those whiners in this country. We've become those people that have rich people problems. You know, like, an illegal alien took my job. You're telling me that you want me to feel bad for you because some dude that just got here from Nicaragua who can't speak a lick of English applied for the same job that you did. You speak English, he can't, and he got the job. Are you kidding me? Like, how do you lose your job to a mime and then expect me to feel bad for you?
Right.
Because you're an idiot. Can I have a number two, please? Like, stop with the whining already.
Well, you know what happens? I agree on a level that everyone wants to be a victim. Everybody wants to be
of
a
course.
Victim, right? So, and it's an annoying thing. I agree with you about the whole deal. And if you're going to a comedy club, you sort of surrender and say, okay, you know. But I would imagine when you're performing, you don't encounter that a lot. People know where you're coming from, correct?
No, I get it a lot.
I
do, but I combat it now. See, as a younger comic, I was very naive in the sense that I really thought people understood that,
right?
I never thought that people would take what I do seriously.
Right.
I mean, I'm a comedian. I don't get it, you know? And then people started saying things like, I didn't agree with anything you said. And I was like, what do you mean you didn't agree? Like, I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, what do you mean you didn't agree? Well, what you said on stage, I'm like, that was a joke. They're like, but I didn't agree with it.
Right.
And I looked at the guy and I went, knock, knock. And he went, who's there? I went, nobody. It's a joke, stupid. Right. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't get that. You know, just because it comes from a real place, well, it doesn't mean.
There was a while ago, and I've explained this to people, is we do a lot of making fun of people on the show. I can never be insulted by something somebody says about it. All bets are off.
Right.
If I'm doing it, then I should be able to take it.
Right.
So that's the way it plays out.
Right.
But some people, it'll be also the dumbest things. You'll say all sorts of stuff. But once you hit the one thing that pertains to that person.
Right.
Oh, my God. You know?
And it's anything, by the way. The scope of it's getting bigger. You know, you could do a joke about flying monkeys, and somebody will be like, my mother got hit by a flying house.
What does flying monkeys
have to do with a house? You know, and they just relate that to whatever they want. But people, one of the problems is people want you guys and us to raise their kids.
Right.
That's one of the biggest problems in America. They want to be able to let their kids wander through the world without their kids hearing or seeing anything that they don't agree with. Mm. So that's like that's what the gay thing is about. They don't care if gays get married, but when their kid goes, mommy, why does Jessica have two dads? They don't want to answer that.
So
then all of a sudden we become the parents, and I'm not your kid's parents. You know what I mean? Be a parent to your own kid. I got my own kid. I'll take care of my kid. You take care of your kid and come see the shows and we'll laugh. And if not, stay home and you know, watch Two and a Half Men or whatever it is.
It's not mandatory that you go to the Carlos Mencia show.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Great to see you, Carlos. Thanks for stopping in, man.
No, you guys are awesome, man. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Right on. Carlos Mencia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve Show. We'll be back in a moment. Stay there.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out The Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Always love having this guy by our studios. Please welcome the one and only Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
Gilbert, I gotta compliment you because I laughed so hard when I saw this, and everybody who knew that you were coming in today has been referencing your reading of 50 Shades of Grey. It's hilarious. And for those who haven't heard it, I have a little snippet I'm going to play.
My inner goddess has stopped dancing and is staring too, open mouth and drooling slightly. Keep still, he orders, and slowly he... his thumb me, rotating it around and around. No, you say. Anything else you object to? I agree to the, but I'd really like to claim your. Holy, is this wrong?
I wish that where you finish with a holy
listening to this
that,
show.
That's really the only way you want to experience that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the only way that book makes any sense is if I read it. It's really like the worst written book.
That's what I hear. Did you read it?
Yeah. When it's like there, I even say it in it, where she goes, and he starts rubbing my sex. And you go, what is a sex? But you couldn't come up with a better word for vagina or something? It's like, oh, he touched my sex. You know,
Well, the word is that is just an expansion of, there was some fan of the Twilight series, and she wrote fan fiction based on the vampire stuff, and that's how that book came into being.
It's the most freakish thing that became so big.
We were playing your appearance on the David Hasselhoff roast, telling the joke about Pam Anderson's vagina, which we can't tell the proper way, but that's hilarious stuff.
And they had to cut out a few of the vagina jokes because it was just getting to be too much. Because the producer producer came to me beforehand. He said, you know, Pam really wasn't sure if she wanted to show up today, so go a little easy on her.
Yeah.
And, you know, the worst thing you could have said to me. Because then the whole thing became about her vagina.
She looked legitimately pissed.
Oh, yes.
I mean, she looked furious. Did you get any? Do you ever get any blowback from something like that?
I beg your pardon? I wish to God. I wish to God I got some blowback from
that. Has anyone ever formally said they were pissed to you? You know,
yes.
You know, God, you know what, Gilbert, you had to have been, I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but in school, you must have been a teacher's nightmare. In class, probably.
Were you?
See, I don't think I was ever the class clown. I think the class clowns are the ones who come up to me after a show and go, hey, you know, in my office, I'm the funniest guy.
Right, right.
That's what I think.
That guy's never the funniest guy, though. It was always the second or third tier guy who would sometimes give that guy lines.
Yeah, the supporting comic in third grade.
But were you a good student or were you?
Horrible.
Horrible.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go to college? Did you major?
No.
Bypass college?
I was horrible. Yeah. I failed everything.
Yeah.
And it's funny because now you listen to me and go, God, he's so smart. But didn't back then.
You would not have known.
You know, now you go, hey, did Stephen Hawking just walk in?
That incredible knowledge that you have. Problem Child was on the other night. And I was curious, that kid grew up to be like a lunatic, right? The kid who was the problem child kid?
Interestingly enough, just about a year ago or so, I was on a radio show, and he called in.
That kid?
Yeah. Michael Oliver.
Now an adult.
And shockingly, beyond all belief, he sounded normal.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I remember.
Because I thought for sure this guy, they'd find like a body buried in his basement.
Because the mother and the kid were suing the movie company, I remember, for years, trying to get more money from the series. And I thought for sure that kid was going to go stark raving mad.
Yeah. I mean, we spoke briefly on the phone and shockingly, he sounded rational.
Wow.
I thought for sure he'd be a serial killer.
I would not have seen that coming.
Yeah.
Speaking of your movies, we have very, very short clips, and they're short enough to where they might be obscure, and you might not know what they're from. Would you mind if I play something and see if you can identify what movie it's from? I think I haven't heard him yet.
And the reason this is going to be difficult because Gilbert's character changes so much from movie to
movie. Yes. Okay, that one's Spartacus. Yes. That one's Last Temptation of Christ. Yes.
Well, there's only four of them, so pretty good. All right, you ready?
Okay,
here we go.
No, bitch! There are a lot, of course, Beverly Hills Cop 2.
That's correct.
Yes.
Absolutely correct.
Yes.
All right.
And on TV, they cut out bitch.
I know.
What do they end it with?
It's a great line.
Yeah, that's the big closing line, yelling bitch. And they, like, cut it. There's a sloppy cut that they do.
Do they overdub?
No, they just have nothing. They just cut it
from
one to the other where it's a quick jump. And it's like there's worse things on you
far
know,
more
cartoons.
Yeah.
Now, was that an improv scene or?
Yeah. We improvised the whole thing. Yeah. Me and Eddie Murphy.
I gotta play that again.
No, bitch!
Yeah, I love that.
All right, here's another one. All right, this is a little bit longer. This may be easier.
I think I'm gonna have a heart attack and die from that surprise. Yeah.
Aladdin.
That
line I remember I improvised.
I would imagine, even though it's an animated film and they stick to a script, do they sometimes say, all right, Gilbert,
for it. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
I have to play around with it. And then after a while, I would go, it's a kid's movie. Okay.
All right, here's the next one.
Your dad is a moron!
I am going to take a safe bet. Problem child?
Two.
Problem child two.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, damn yeah, problem, it, I missed that one.
That's still problem child.
Yeah, I was working with John Ritter.
Oh, good. He called me yesterday.
Oh, shut up. Yeah, how's he doing?
We still keep in touch.
Do you know his death was directly responsible with Kathy being hired on the show?
Yeah.
How did this happen?
She was auditioning on the to be on the show on the day he died, and we got a good reveal about how she would be on the air.
I really loved him. I watched Three's Company with my dad growing up, so when he passed away, I was like...
Ugh. Yeah, she had been in, like, we had had her in, like, four or five times, trying her out live on the air, and we're like, man, she doesn't really have much of a personality, and we're not sure.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, we're like, she's nice to look at.
I was about to say, she's a real load. What's she doing here?
And then John Ritter died, and she opened, and we saw her personality because she was so passionate about how much she loved him, and we're like, okay, that's our chick. We're hiring her.
Yeah. What movie was? I mean, you've done a number of movies. What movie did you feel, man, that was a blast? That's my favorite experience on a film.
While working, I mean, all of the ones you played, I enjoyed. And, I mean, Problem Child was the most surprising to me.
It was a hit. It was huge.
Yeah, I thought this is gonna come and Universal, who put it out, I think some of the execs were saying before it came out, one of them said, we're going to treat this like a wounded soldier on the battlefield. We're going to leave it and run for our lives. And then it came out, and to this day, people come up to me and are fans of that.
It is bizarre.
It was on every critic's top 10 worst movies ever.
Ritter met his wife, though, right? He met that.
Oh, Amy Yells
Back. Yeah.
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 Chick that was on Wings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the red hair.
Yeah, and I was on Wings with her, too.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, well, I have another clip. Let's see if you can guess the movie from this clip.
He threw the ball! Oh, he threw the ball! Oh, he threw the ball! Oh, he threw the ball!
Dr. Doolittle.
There he goes.
That is correct.
Yeah, so you and are you and Eddie Murphy friends, I assume? I mean, you've worked on a couple of occasions?
Yeah, no, on that one, I didn't run into him or anything. Someone just called me and asked me to do it. Mm-hmm. But I went to at least one of Eddie Murphy's weddings. So
is he the kind of guy you can get close to? Because I've heard people say that he's sort of like he was always a big fan of Elvis, and he sort of has adopted an Elvis mentality as far as keeping people away.
He has trouble with his bowel movements.
He went the full night.
Impacted bowels.
Wow. That's a fan.
he has a widow who's had really bad plastic surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, have you ever seen Priscilla Presley's?
Not recently. She looks beautiful for a while. Has she effed that up?
Yeah.
She has?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She went to some... And I worked with her in Fort Fairlane.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
But yeah, Eddie Murphy, I mean, I don't really know him, but okay. I mean, yeah. He's been nice to me.
Yeah, he's put a couple of movies.
No, but... And that was another thing. He didn't put me in...
He didn't?
In Beverly Hills Cop 2. It
really?
Was like... When I showed up on the set, he came up to me and said, it wasn't until he was reading, like, the casting thing, the script that day, that he saw my name and knew that I was going to be in it.
Wow. I think one of the sites.
Yeah, they say Eddie that he got you his in. Old pal, Gilbert.
Right, yeah. Oh, that's wild. So when you're working with him, is he a pretty... because we get the impression he likes to improv as well. Is that a good
idea? Yeah. And during that scene, the original scene was I have some parking tickets, and he goes, is there any way to avoid this unpleasantry?
Right, yeah.
And he goes, well, how about $200? And that was the scene.
Right, yeah.
And we just started playing around and laughing and stuff, and it was fun.
That's wild.
All right, I have one more. Let's see if you can guess this. Here we go.
Come on, Nick! Come on, damn it, I'll slap you, Nick!
Yes. I don't remember that one.
Look who's talking.
He got
to
it. Yes.
Where I danced with John Travolta. I can actually say I danced with John Travolta in a movie.
There's another movie. The first Look Who's Talking was like, that was, they were going to leave that for dead, and it was a hit.
Yeah, that was a shocking one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What was Travolta like?
And no, there I am dancing on a screen. See, I'm telling you on the radio. Here I am dancing on a screen.
Okay. Yeah, we have them playing on a monitor here in the studio. Okay. All right,
And look. Curse the Alley still look human back then. Yeah.
Still looks human.
Yeah.
Do you put any stock into his masseuse stories?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Because you know there's like five of them now that are claiming that he wanted the real deal completion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the word.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you go for a massage, it's kind of expected. Granted, usually I like it from a girl from Thailand, but, you know, if there's not one around.
You'll let the cabin boy do it?
Maybe. Yeah. I think he's a completist. I think, you know, it's like, you know, like a masseuse.
Yeah.
If they're a professional, goes, let's see, I did the shoulders, the back, the legs. What did I miss here?
Right.
And I think it's just unprofessional.
Right. To do the full deal.
I got to believe, though, if it is true, he's got enough money, he's got enough clout.
That he could keep it more secretive?
Yeah, and he doesn't have to go picking up on masseuses, you know? I don't know.
Maybe there's a level of hubris that arises when you reach that level of stardom where you think, it's like Elliot Spitzer. He was signing his own name to the escort service. I mean, you know. I guess you think you're untouchable at a certain point.
I guess it's like these stars. I guess, you know, if a Travolta goes into like a place like Tiffany's or whatever, they'll go, here, take these bracelets and necklaces and stuff. Hey, on a house.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, because sure, we love having you here. And I guess after a while, it must get to you, right? Where you go, oh, well, I guess I can get a happy ending here.
Right,
you
right,
know, they'll
right.
toss it in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Here's a beer.
I don't know.
I think he wants, no, he's always requested it,
okay.
I believe.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to implement it.
Messed up.
Yeah.
Well, it's like your request, Frank Sinatra singing New York, New York.
Right.
You know, your request to happy ending. It's a request.
It's obvious, right?
Yeah.
And I think what they usually do is the masseuse walks off to a round of applause, and then the lights go on, and then they darken again, and the curtains open up, and he comes out and does the happy ending.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just
It's much more theatrical.
Yeah. It's like you think the show's over,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the audience is clapping.
Thank you.
People are looking, going, oh, I guess he's not going to sing New York, New York, and they're putting their coats on,
right? Yeah.
And then the house lights go back up, and the curtains.
That's wild. It gives it a little more oomph.
Yes.
Yeah. Gilbert, do you watch much reality TV, quote-unquote reality programming television?
Yeah. And it's all reality, of course.
Of course.
Nothing there is cut to look a certain way.
Embellish.
No one is told to say anything. It is reality.
The whole Kardashian thing just makes me ill beyond belief. I refuse. I've never watched one
but
second of that.
But they're so talented and so intelligent.
Yeah. I just did.
I was on one show, it was just one episode of one of the many. It's hard. I don't even know. I get the titles mixed up.
They all blend together.
And this one was another one of those ghost reality shows where they put a bunch of celebrities.
That's right. They tell their ghost stories.
Yeah, no. That's yet another one.
Okay.
This is one where they put us in an abandoned insane asylum overnight, and we had these, like, ghost packs that we wore on our backs.
This was a short run series that they had, like Danny Bonaducci had done it.
Oh, yes, yeah, yes.
And a few other guys. And
less successful than Danny Bonaducci. Danny Bonaducci was like getting Leonardo DiCaprio. And I remember they had us with this ghost pack.
Yeah,
that had
this
heat sensor.
Right.
Because if one part of the room was 2 degrees higher or lower than the other, that proved there was ghosts there. You know, because abandoned insane asylums are known for their temperature control. So, hey, if this is half a degree.
Sure.
And the other person there who was one of the celebrity ghost hunters was Tracy Lords.
Wow. Were you with, because they would send you
and
out
she
in teams.
Thought it was too much to swallow. But anyway, thank you. Thank you so much.
I almost stepped on it. Sorry.
And there was one part of the reality, absolutely true in the show, where if you ever saw a ghost, Patrick Swayze has to go inside Whoopi Goldberg to be. And there's one part where we're sitting around like a fire, and the ghost has to go inside someone, and Tracy Lords is going, come inside me. Oh. Come. And I thought, oh, my. Like, yeah, like they didn't know. Nobody knew.
I'm looking at the celebrities on this one. Tracy Lords, Gilbert Gottfried, Evan Farmer, American Idol's Kimberly Caldwell, and Philadelphia Eagles linebacker Jeremiah Trotter.
Trotter?
Wow.
So, yeah, so where did they stick you? Where was the insane asylum?
I don't know. I think it was in Connecticut or something like that.
Are you into that stuff at all?
Ghost stuff?
Paranormal stuff?
Well, like I even said it on the show. I said, well, ghosts are invisible, and we didn't see anything. Therefore, ghosts are real. Right. You know? Right. You know, they asked me to be on the other ghost one.
Are you guys familiar with this show? It's where celebrities reveal
they share their
paranormal encounters.
It's like someone who did a guest appearance on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Celebrity. Right. And they asked me to be on it and say a ghost story. And I said, I'll do it if the reenactment has a black actor as me. That's and they said, well, we'll discuss it and call you back. Right. And that was the last I heard.
Did you have a legitimate story to tell, or do they feed
me? No, I would have made up a ghost story for them. But I wanted it to be like, and I was in my room and have like some black guy, a big fat black guy in bed.
That would have been great.
And then my mother came in to wonder, because I was screaming, and I wanted my mother to be played by some large-breasted blonde. in a 90.
Right.
But they
and
didn't
they didn't
see
go
it.
For it.
They didn't see the creativity.
Oh, that would have been an Emmy for sure.
Damn reality television.
Imagine you as a child, as like the kid from The Blind Side.
Oh, yes. Exactly. That's the way I wanted it to be, like a big quarterback in his underwear.
That's perfect. Wow.
That's great.
Is your website GilbertGottfried.com?
My website's GilbertGottfried.com, where you can get my DVD, Dirty Jokes, or my book, Rubber Balls and Liquor, my Twitter account, if you've ever heard of me having a Twitter account, is, if you've ever watched the news, at Real Gilbert. And if you Google Gottfried Tosh,
CNN article.
Yeah, CNN, you'll read my article. Or I'll look up Gilbert Gottfried reads 50 Shades of Grey.
Right. Which is available at GilbertGottfried.com.
Gilbert, always awesome to have here. Thanks for being here.
Yes.
Gilbert Gottfried!
Thank you.
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay down.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I didn't know we were starting.
We are starting.
I apologize.
That's okay. President Steve Show? Yeah,
drunk
yeah.
day?
Okay, yes, yes. Thank you, Steve Morrison.
Absolutely.
I apologize. Listen,
you are right where you need to be, both you and Jackson joining us today.
Yes! Yeah.
A newbie doing a great job.
Wait a minute. Come on, what? Girls, everybody. Round
Come
on.
People don't applaud anymore.
I touched one of your boobs. No, was that somebody else? No, that was the Risque Girls.
That was a Club Risque.
Let me
girl.
Imagine.
We try to keep the studio a little bit.
I like to imagine it was one of the Kildare's girls.
Kildillies. The Kildillies girls are beautiful.
We tried to keep the studio a little bit more restricted on this particular day.
Yes.
Well, here's what we're going to do, President. Is there anything you have to get to?
Yeah, traffic. Yeah,
traffic.
Let's get that with Kathy.
I'm going to turn your mic off, dude.
I'm sorry.
Shit.
I thought you were with me on this, man.
No, I hear this every morning. But it's the voice of an angel.
Yeah. Wow.
Kathy Romano with those messy bibbies of her.
You Kathy, hear, the, you hear the angel?
Round of applause for Kathy Romano, please.
All right, Preston and Jackson. Yes. It's time for another Breathalyzer.
What?
I think you're right.
All right. We're going to have our mystery.
I'm sorry to interrupt, okay. Steve.
Checker.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Steve, but I've officially reached another level.
Jackson, I love you. Let's
man.
Hug.
You should.
Wait, hold on. But I've officially reached another level at this very moment. I mean, like, it's bizarre because I'm a lifelong drinker.
Lifelong. Yeah, see, here I thought when Kathy's mom called that she was full of
no,
crap.
No, no, no.
But she's not an alcoholic. Totally down no. on, isn't she?
I'm not an alcoholic, but right. I'm a veteran.
Okay, veteran.
And I've just noticed the numbness in my lips right. and teeth. And my ability to
That's
form.
Awesome, dude. Don't you want more?
To form the.
Like, I would pay for more.
Well, you don't have to, because Kildare's is giving this crap for free.
I love this.
But anyway, I've the ability to form words and things like that. On the radio is a little bit more difficult because it becomes more augmented as you are. And
yes.
Here I am trying to sharpen myself up.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just point? Wait,
it becomes
on.
More augmented as you are on right. the radio, listening to it, yes. the headphones. It's yes. amplified and so forth.
Right.
And I'm just wasted. I'm just stopping,
Jackson,
right?
Would you qualify yourself as wasted right now?
Here's the thing. I'm freaked out. There's like 30 people in this studio.
Yeah, this is how we keep the studio closed.
Yeah, I know.
Closed for us constitutes 35 friggin' people.
In the afternoon, it's me and Red. Where is Kristen?
Yeah, you're not used to this. Hey, Kristen Herman. Steve, I know.
No, absolutely. Go ahead.
One moment. I know you have some things planned, but I have to take a moment, a very cool moment, to congratulate one of the most awesome persons on the
planet.
One of the most awesome people on our staff.
There
on
she
the
universe. Is.
And Come our here, planet, Red. Kristen Herman, yes. for getting a full-time job here at Greater Media.
She started as a Preston and Steve Show intern, then became Jackson's producer.
Kristen is my favorite person on the planet.
Kristen,
I love
please,
her more than life itself.
Please tell everyone how I discovered you. It was
you
me and Preston Elliott.
Was
alone.
It a Club Risque?
No, it wasn't a Club Risque. But I found this girl and I've given her a career.
It's true. I was
Sorry.
I was a rower in college, and that's all I did, 6 hours a day, and I was rowing and did not want to get an internship or do anything. I wasn't really looking past college, and then I met Preston at a party, a Trading Spaces party. My husband was doing it, and you stopped by just because you saw trucks for Trading Spaces.
I had been on Trading Spaces, and I saw the Trading Spaces truck, and I stopped by, yeah. Oh,
and you nice. And I were both kind of bored, and you said, we're going to this place, WMMR. Come on. And
Kristen, we were on swings.
Yeah,
there was a kid's swings, and we were swinging together, and she said... And
we were swinging together.
Nah, I don't mean it that way. I mean literally.
Yeah.
Like children swingings on a playground. And I asked her what she did, and she said she was going to Temple, and she said that she was into communications. And
all right. Yep.
Listen, I apologize, but here's the problem. Here's the problem when the hollow monitor comes in here. But here's the problem when the captain of the ship is taking us off course. You know what I mean? Because, like, when anybody else was drinking, Preston could always write the ship.
Well, here's what we're going to do, and it's good that you bring it up.
I was interested.
We have to. We are very happy for Kristen's job, and we are now going to administer the breathalyzer check.
Oh,
all right.
Here we go.
Breathalyzer person, step up to Jackson.
I love you, Kristen.
All right.
I love you.
It's still going up.
Still going up.
All right. We're 0.20.
Oh, wow.
0.20.
That's right. Really,
really
Preston, drunk. Preston,
your chance.
And
really
by
drunk.
The way, Mayor, we haven't done this since 6 o'clock this morning. If you imbibe,
where
don't
are these
imbibe.
Waitresses, because I'm like empty.
Hold on, dude. This is my public service portion of this. If you are going to overdo it, don't overdo
you,
it.
Aaron.
Stay. Get a designated dude. Driver yes. or stay at home.
Right. Everybody shut up for a second.
Yeah.
All right. And let me say this.
Okay.
All right. Here's the deal.
Go ahead. Do your thing.
It's great to enjoy. Can you hang on a second?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, it's great to enjoy yourself, obviously, because alcohol is legal to consume.
Right.
But you don't want to overdo it.
Yes.
Never.
And if you do, please have a plan in store for somebody
to get home or to stay.
To ride home or to stay where you are. Somebody keep an eye out. Let me blow on this.
All right. Here we go. Preston's breathalyzer check. Jackson just blew a 0.20.
Dude, I'm officially lit. I am.
Let's see.
Are you? I'm
sorry.
Shut up,
pussy boy.
All right. What is it? Is it rising? What do we got?
It's 0.15.
It's still going up, Preston. Yeah, still going up.
I'm at least a 0.23, but at this point.
What do you think? What do we lock out at?
I'm saying 0.25.
That's still going guess. Up. He's right. Still guess. Going up. 0.21, 0.22.
Is it sad that...
0.22, and do I hear a 0.23? No.
Yes! 0.23.
0.23.
Told you.
Let's see. Right. Did it lock? Lock and load? 0.23. Yeah, all right. We're going to move on to a little nostalgia for you, Jackson,
is
right
it
now.
Is sad that I'm at my happiest right now?
No, it's not.
A little bit.
Preston,
all right,
we're going to move on now. Jackson. Jackson.
When do we do
Jackson.
This
what? We are going to have... We're going to have a person from your past, your long and storied career as a disc jockey.
I hate you.
We're going to have someone talk to you from your past, and we're going to ask you to identify them. They're going to give you little hints. They've been waiting on the phone right now. This gentleman goes way back with you.
Okay.
So I need you to put on your thinking cap and see if you could talk. Mystery caller, mystery Jackson friend.
Bring it.
Are you on the line?
Yes.
All right. Jackson. Mystery caller from Jackson's past. Can you give us something that might help Jackson discern who you are?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't live nearby, and I can hear your show while I'm on hold. And it's really... Is this legal?
It is. It is legal.
Well, Jackson, I don't know if you remember me back in... Here, first hint is Box Elder.
Holy shit. Crap.
We wrestled together.
We wrestled together.
Wow, this is like high school wrestling. This is like crazy.
And ran track. We ran track and wrestled.
How do you find this person?
Huh?
Hold on.
We have resources.
Go.
Any bells being rung there?
No, hold on. No.
Crap. You wrestled together.
Jesus
you ran
Christ,
track.
I would never expect you to go that far back. Wow.
I got in touch. Well, Facebook is a scary thing sometimes.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So Yeah, you once, I don't know if you remember this, this isn't the first time you're drinking, you threw up in my father's Mustang.
You threw up in his father's Mustang.
How the F did you find this dude?
While it was parked in the garage. Do you remember that?
No, I remember. I do remember throwing up in a Mustang, yes.
There was a party, and we went back to my house, and you went into the garage because you said you were going to sleep. I couldn't get you to sleep in the house, and you said you were going to sleep out in the garage, and then I came out an hour later, and you'd thrown up all over my father's house.
I sense that you're all around it, Jackson, but you can't put your finger exactly.
Oh, God, no. I will never figure out this out in a million years.
Well, mystery caller, can we have another hint?
Here's another hint. Do you remember the girl that you lost your virginity to?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jackson?
Yeah?
Do you remember the girl you lost your virginity to?
I do, yeah.
Do you remember her brother?
Wow.
Wow.
He's thinking hard.
Crap, I don't know. Because, like, when you say lost your virginity to him, it's like, it could be three or four people.
You know? No, you only get to lose it once.
No, it couldn't be three or four.
Unless you're in a gangbang.
No, it could be.
I think technically you're off on that one.
Everybody's always like,
well, that doesn't make me feel good about my sister.
I'm going to give
you throw up in my father's Mustang. You lost your virginity, and actually my sister lost her virginity to you.
Get the F out of here.
Hold on.
For those who are tuning in.
Give me a state.
Just to let you know.
Now, understand, I was a military brat, so we moved around a lot.
I told you, Box Elder.
Box Elder, so South Dakota.
For those who are tuning in just now.
We were stationed at Ellsworth.
Just now, hold on.
Ellsworth Air Force Base.
You think internally. Hang on a second, Jay.
Think internally.
That's like Charles Manson saying, calm down.
Hold on.
People.
As he's thinking, I want people to wrap their mind around this. We have Jackson and me, yours truly, Preston Ellie. We're hammered at this point. It's drunk day. Jackson has a mystery friend on the line right now, giving him clues as to who he is from his past.
Where do you find these people?
We have sources.
I think you're ready to get it. I think mystery caller, could we have another clue?
Jackson, we wrestled together. We ran track together. You lost your virginity to my sister.
And she lost her virginity to you?
I'm going
to
tell you right now, dude. Whatever I said about virginity and your sister was a lie. Because...
So you lied to his sister?
I lied to your sister. I'm sorry. I did not lose my virginity to your sister. Because she didn't have a brother. All right? Oh, God.
No, but you just said it could have been one of three people.
Three or four.
Three or four.
Anything else?
Hold on.
Jackson.
Yes, give me one more.
Okay, when we were wrestling, and it was junior year, and we were practicing, and this is embarrassing, but only you would remember this.
Go ahead.
We were wrestling, and you had me pinned.
Right.
And you had your leg between my legs, and I got a boner.
Do you remember that?
And you were totally cool about it.
You're so full of crap. You are so full of crap.
Do you remember that, Jackson?
You are so full
when
of
you...
it. You are so full of it.
You had me pinned and let me up once you saw that I had the boner.
And then would I be correct, he's mystery thinking. Caller, and assuming it was...
All right, I'm going to go through my whole high school wrestling.
Give us a name.
Rich?
Nope.
Nope. Brent?
Nope.
James?
Yes.
James Kelly?
Yep.
James Kelly?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Hold on. There's no way you found this dude.
Hold on. Can I personally, Preston, take a guess here?
Yes. Yeah.
Is this Greg Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Yes.
Greg Fitzsimmons at the Helium Comedy Club. It is comedian Greg Fitzsimmons.
Bring him in. I hate you. If I could see you, I would step on your head. Come here. I'm going to step on your head.
Oh. Fitz dog, you were perfect.
That was perfect.
I'm like, there is no way on earth they can hung find up my on high him. School wrestling.
It's okay, he's standing
here.
Right
he's right, standing right there.
Oh, my God. Holy Jesus.
Oh, my God. You're letting him run the board?
No. Dude, wait, right? Hold on.
To describe those... I thought I accidentally hit the wrong button. And then I turn around and Greg Fitzsimmons is in.
You did technically hang up on him.
If you threw up in a guy's father's Mustang, wouldn't you remember that?
I did, but it wasn't. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
No, you didn't throw up in a Mustang.
I did throw up in a Mustang, actually. I did actually
really?
Throw up in a Mustang. Yeah. Wow. My senior year, I threw
Ladies
up in a Mustang.
And gentlemen, yeah. Greg Fitzsimmons is my favorite comedian.
That's what threw me off.
Greg is at Helium Comedy Club all this weekend. Greg, we thank you so much for coming back and participating in this.
It's an honor.
How do you deal with the joke?
I love the boner incident. That's the kind of thing that you figure a guy would block out, you know? That was so great.
I wanted to bury the lead on that one.
Oh, you did. You played it brilliantly. You know what we have to do, guys?
Yeah. What?
We have to actually have you get prepared for something we have that involves you being out of the studio.
Really?
No.
This is, yes, yeah.
Outside?
No, not just
are we gonna
in
fight?
Our office.
No.
No.
You want to do that
now, Casey?
You
want
to do it? Yeah. Well,
but here's the way I say the best thing to do, because we have a lot of stuff to put together.
Yeah.
We should probably take a break.
Yep.
All right. Because right now we're in that runaway train thing.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Hang on. I want to apologize to Greg Fitzsimmons, because you don't drink, do you, right?
I used to have a problem.
Well,
I understand that problem now.
Wow. You know, Greg, I don't drink. I've never been drunk once in my life. Yeah.
He didn't have a problem. He needs a problem.
Yeah. How do you know you? The only way to find out if you have a problem is to make a problem.
That's true. Right. I guess I should put it up to the test.
But I want to say before I get stupid drunk, which I'm very close to.
I hate you guys.
No. I love Greg Fitzsimmons. You're one of my favorite comedians.
He actually fooled me.
I appreciate it.
Well, then credit to him, because I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I really.
Who is this guy?
I didn't think I was going to get away with it until I heard you not know anybody's name on the staff. And then I was like, I got a good shot. This thing's got legs.
Wow, this dude is for real. I don't know who he is.
Should I be embarrassed that I'm this hammered in front of you? I apologize.
Not at all. No, because the thing is, I work at night in clubs where people are drinking. I try to say goodnight to everybody at the end of the night.
Dan.
They all want to put their arm around you and take a picture with their cell phone that they don't know how to use.
And I was that way when you were in Philly last time. I bid $20 on your CD, which is way too much.
That's right.
I was like, no, I'll buy it. He's like, hey, it's Preston for business, dude. And I walked up and said, hey, I'm drunk. How you doing? I'm Preston.
I have a question.
Yeah.
It's 9:30?
Yeah.
How long does this show go?
Well, today we're going a little late.
Yeah, what do you do for the rest of the day and night?
They go comatose.
Take a break.
In fact, Jackson has the afternoon drive shift, and he's not doing it now. We're going to take a break.
Call.
All right, guys?
We're going to let these guys
do their deal. It's a Preston and Steve show. Drunk Dave. We'll be back in just a minute.
Yeah, me and Jackson and Greg Fitzsimmons.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet. Mark Morton with Chester Bennington. Gloria Sons.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I usually like to bring our guests on by playing appropriate theme music, to kind of set it up. And I would hate to, as much as you've enjoyed this far, Steve, you've seen the first few episodes.
Yes.
Love it. I'd hate to throw a negative thing at the beginning here, but the old theme is much better.
You think so?
Well, it's so iconic, you know? I mean...
Right.
It's big. It's got the brass. It's, you know.
Slapping the bass here.
Slapping the bass. But here's the new theme. And well, hang on. Let's hear this part, because this is the part you sing along.
You got this in the new one.
Do you?
Yeah, you got a bit of
then
it.
Then maybe I didn't hear all of it. Here's the new one.
A little bit of it.
That's not it. That's not it.
It says Dallas new theme.
Oh, no, that's not the theme song. Oh. No, we still have the same one.
That's like an action movie.
Well, then I stand corrected. We'll go back to this.
Yeah.
Jordana Brewster and Julie Gonzalo are here. From Dallas. Good morning, ladies.
Hi.
So we've got to get the proper theme then, Case.
Okay.
Where did we get that from?
Marissa sent it over.
Oh, okay.
I trusted in Marissa.
All right.
I think the only difference is we lost the disco beat. Yeah, there's a bit of more modern theme to it, but it's still the same thing.
Same sort of iconic opening. You still see South Fork, the whole damn deal.
We just don't have our faces, like you said last night, like flipping hair.
Right. That
not
classic
yet, so
Anson
far.
Williams Happy Days turnaround.
Yeah.
Like,
we don't have that.
Super bummed about that, but we didn't do.
Well, guys, I was saying before we went on air, I'm very happy that this is not a remake and an extension of the original story years down the line. To see the old cast members integrating with this new, far more attractive cast, I have to add.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. Were you afraid that they were going to try to, you know, reinvent the show, or when you initially heard? Because I understand, like, for example, Jordana, did you audition on a Skype setup or something like that?
I think Jesse auditioned via Skype.
Yeah.
I auditioned for Mike and Cynthia.
Okay. All right.
But I would never like deign to play Sue Ellen or Pamela. I mean, no one can fill their shoes. It's impossible.
Right. But they're there. I have to, as I say, I was watching the show, Larry Hagman, there's a scene where he puts on for the first time
his 10-gallon hat, and it's like Darth Vader putting on his mask. It was like, wow.
You can see it in his eyes.
Yeah.
He's back. He's so good.
Were you guys aware of and or fans of the original show?
We started watching once we got the job. And
yes.
We would watch together and we would play drinking games.
Yeah.
What kind of
games? Well, Patrick Duffy actually taught us a game that we have to have. It was mostly whiskey and beer we had to have on hand because every time Sue Ellen would take a drink of something, we had to take a drink of something.
All right.
And
she drank
so
a lot.
We were hammered by the end. But yeah.
She was like a nuclear alcoholic in the original storyline.
Well, how else do you deal with JR? Yeah.
By the way, Patrick Duffy, and we've talked to many A-list celebrities over the years. One of the most fun interviews I think we've ever had.
So nice.
I mean,
he's amazing.
He had stories. He was self-deprecating. He was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be a great
guy.
He's like
our dad. He's like literally, he's like our dad. He'll like, you know, we try to misbehave around him and he'll shush us. And it's just such a good, he's such a good human being.
Well, you have this the cast. You have Josh Anderson, Jesse Metcalf playing respectively John Ross Ewing and Christopher Ewing. They're the contentious brothers. One's
cousins.
The son of JR, and the other is the son of Bobby. Mm-hmm. And you guys are the girlfriends, but you have your own stuff. You're a lawyer, Julie,
yes.
Right? And Jordana, you're the daughter of the maid.
Southfoot Cook's daughter. So I grew up with them on the ranch, and now I'm a geologist drilling for oil on South Fork.
And, I'm sitting there, I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, son of a bitch, like 10 minutes, and I'm sucked into the thing, and I'm like, you gotta get that guy. You can't drill on South Fork. You can't do it.
I know, but there's so much money under there.
I know. And it's in this time, I was thinking as I'm watching this, with all this Occupy stuff and 1%, this is a perfect example of why we're fascinated with this lifestyle and why the original show was successful.
Yeah, and it's great that they, integrated the whole alternative energies and, it's everything we're dealing with in today's day.
Yeah.
Money versus, good versus bad and the, so.
Were you surprised that, because my dad lives in Dallas, how revered South Fork is.
Oh, yeah.
When you go, people in Dallas, you going over there?
Oh, yeah.
Is it still that sort of thing going on? And are you legitimately filming on, it looks like, South Fork?
We would be shooting on South Fork, and tours would come in, and they'd say, we're from Germany, and we've been wanting to go to South Fork for the last 20 years.
They'd freak out. Patrick was sitting there in his chair, and they would be like, oh, my God, can I take a picture with you? He was like, of course.
Yeah.
And, it was interesting to be shooting, and then, all of a sudden, these people are, staring at you.
Sure. I mean, it was a worldwide phenomenon when Dallas originally aired.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about the cast and some of the older members, and one of my adolescent crushes was Victoria Principal.
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to... Is there any word if she'll make some kind of a cameo down the road, or...
We don't know. Not this season.
What did Patrick say, which was pretty awesome?
Oh, yeah. He's like, whoever's still alive is welcome to come.
Which I loved.
He's married to Brenda, the actress Brenda Strong,
right, yes.
Is playing his new wife.
His third wife, yeah.
Right. And
who was his second wife, Priscilla Presley?
It was Priscilla Presley.
Amazing.
He had some really good women there, Mr. Duffy there.
Bobby's a hottie.
Wow.
I think the most wild thing, though, is watching Larry Hagman has... the most insane eyebrows I've ever seen on anything.
Oh, you can't touch them too.
Oh, really? You won't let you touch them?
No, can't trim them.
I mean, they go way... It's like, he looks like a claymation figure.
What? I don't know. Are they really
his
bushy?
His eyebrows go way up, like off, as if you drew like Simon Bar Sinister.
Really?
That's what his eyebrows are like.
And he won't trim them at all.
No, you can't touch them. You can brush them. But you can't.
He will let you brush his eyebrows.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do it, but.
Wow. Now we've heard he's a massive practical joker. Was that the case?
Well, we've heard stories from back in the day where they would do dinner scenes and they would just fling dinner rolls at each other because you get so bored during those scenes because there's so much, there's so much coverage. So those just take hours and hours. So, yeah, they were practical jokers back in the day.
Well, explain the dynamic of the show and what people are going to see when they tune in on the 13th about, just where we pick up.
We pick up with John Ross and Christopher Ewing dueling over South Fork. And one represents green energy, one represents oil. And we are their respective love interests. And there's a big love triangle going on between us. And
lots of triangles.
We learned that
there are lots of triangles.
Initially, that you might have been lied to, and there's a lot of manipulation. I already hate this this Josh.
John Ross?
I already hate his guts.
I was originally with Christopher, so that was,
manipulated.
Oops. And I walked in.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And you're like... Julie, you're just impossibly sweet and wonderful, so we assume that's going to change at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's safe to say that all the characters kind of go through their own little cliffhangers and twists and turns, and we all kind of, we're not what we seem.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, in Dallas and Dynasty and of that era, the best thing about these shows were the people that you'd love to hate on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, JR was the ultimate example of that.
Oh, totally.
I mean, as evil as that guy was, everybody loved him.
But they would give you, as they do in the new Dallas, that even with John Ross Ewing, who is a prick, there's a moment there where you're like, oh, well, maybe this is why he's a prick. You know?
He thinks he's doing the right thing, I guess.
Right, right. And that's and well-done soap opera of this nature, you know, does that. You're never quite sure where the characters stand. And there was already like 30 twists in the first hour and a half that was very compelling. Now, who created this show? Did she have any connection to the, or at least who started it up again? Is she connected to the original?
Cynthia Sidra, who is not connected to the original, she said that when she first got the job, she was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And then she was like, this is like second nature to me. So she has so much fun with it.
Yeah, she had to do a lot of homework. And she wrote a fantastic pilot. I think Patrick was saying that there were so many attempts to revive Dallas again and for many years. But it wasn't until Cynthia's script that they finally said, okay, she got the tone, she got the characters, and let's do this.
How cool is it? Because the shows, they're well-moneyed. You have, I assume, you know, the best cars and stuff and the best wardrobe. Is that kind of cool to be around all that stuff?
It's really fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was definitely fun because it's nice to have such a supportive team behind this project. You know, people that really want this to succeed. So they really do the best they can. They hired the best people. The production value of the show is fantastic. The DP, everything about the show is just top notch. So,
hey, do you guys remember who shot JR?
Yeah, it was Christy. Linda Suellen's sister.
Mary Crosby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
There it is.
Is there any reference to that in the first season? Does anybody mention about JR being shot at some point?
Not as far as I remember.
Okay.
You guys remember the big controversy? I know you won't do it in the new one where it turned out an entire season was a dream.
Oh, I think that's why you have the shower scene.
That's
a nod to that. Okay.
Yeah,
Bobby Ewing is in the shower and he comes out.
86.
Right, and that entire season they decided wasn't working, so they just...
Yeah.
He said to keep that under wraps, they pretended they were shooting an Irish Spring commercial the entire day. And that's how that was kept a secret.
Well, people were wondering, like, why are you guys in a towel? I'm like, oh, it's cool. It's in, you know, 1996, you know, Patrick Duffy came back. Yeah.
I have to mention this because a couple of instant messages. I have a screen over here where you guys are. We have you on the webcam, and a couple of them have said, "Is that the chick from Fast and Furious?" And I've loved her forever, and so on and so forth. And yes, indeed, I want to make sure people do know that you're in that. And not only that, one of my favorite, as Steve calls junk food movies, but is Debs.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, my God, Debs is awesome.
That was early on in your career,
Debs,
right?
Debs was early on. Debs was, I was like 12 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And The Faculty.
The Faculty, was great. Yes.
And Julie Dodgeball. I said, that's Justin Long. That's the girl.
That's right. I was.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't even know that, did you?
I did not know that.
We don't look each other up.
Wait, who were you in Dodgeball?
I was Justin Long's girlfriend. I was a cheerleader that makes him do the dance at the end.
Right. So with this, obviously, you know, now you've got a TV schedule versus out doing films. Is it? And we've talked to people who've done both in their careers. Is it? Does it feel more like a steady job when you're doing the TV gig?
It does.
Yeah,
it sure does. Because and it's easier because we, TNT, since we're cable, we only shoot 13. Well, we shot 10 episodes this season. And if we come back next year, it'll probably be between 13 and 15. So it's not 22 or 24 episodes like it is in network. So that's most of your year. And so we at least have half a year to do other things. Yeah.
It was wild to hear curses flung about in the. You can do that on TNT.
I think we get one curse word an episode. And I haven't gotten one yet. And I'm going to lobby for one.
I'm like, did he just say the S word in front of Bobby Ewing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you could. I don't know if I could say it here, but I think there's like three for the B word.
Okay.
B S word. I think you can say, well, I can't say.
Well, who governs that? Is it the writers on the show or is it the standards and practices?
I think it's a TNT thing. I think it's a,
Because I was thinking about South Park, where they just drop S-bombs left and right. And speaking of South Park, did you know that they have a parking spot reserved for Patrick Duffy at all times?
No.
Yeah. What? Just at their offices in L.A., Patrick Duffy has a reserved spot. Anytime he ever wants to go there, it's just him. He's the only one that's allowed to park there.
I wonder if he knows that.
He's got to. He's got to.
We'll text him. We'll let him know.
Just let him know.
Yeah.
So wait, Jordana, you filmed Annapolis here in Philadelphia?
I did, yeah.
Not in Annapolis?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, we did go there.
Okay. Why would you go to Annapolis when you have Philadelphia right here?
Well, how much time did you spend here then?
Like about 2 or 3 months.
Okay. So you can show Julie around because
we've been hanging out.
A picture of yourself at Tony Luke's. We're friends with Tony.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We heard, so we went. We had to go see what that was all about.
Did you dive into a cheesesteak?
I did.
You got to watch that.
Totally.
Won't go over. You're getting married, you know, on the show. So yeah.
Oh, you get married? Yeah. We're cool. We already shot it. We're on hiatus.
just have a cheesesteak in your hand all the time. Quick thing, Jordana. I was reading about you. Your mother was a Sports Illustrated model.
She was, yeah.
And so,
really, what is her name?
Maria João.
How do you spell that last name?
J-O-A-O.
J-O-A-O. I'm looking that up right now.
So did that sort of suck when guys J-O-A-O. Look for excuses to come by the house?
You know, when I was younger, everyone was like, your mom is so beautiful. And I was like, oh, what are you talking about? That's just weird.
Yeah.
And now I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I totally appreciate it. But we lived in Brazil, too, so her bikinis were teeny, teeny, tiny, which was also weird.
I'm sure the guys
that's a bummer.
Yeah. Well, the show definitely looks to be a hit. I mean, I'm a sucker for this stuff. The seeing the old people back, even Charlene Tilton was back. So I got to assume some other cast members are going to be floating their way in.
Steve Canale's back.
Yeah.
Ray, yeah. There's a few familiar faces.
It's written well, and it's got the production values there. It's what you remember the old Dallas being, and then some. So
the 2012.
I have the real new theme.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah. All right.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Same thing. I still got a little bit of the disco beat, but not quite as. Late 70s, early
80s. It's like the modern version of it.
I love it.
Oh, good.
Okay, and Nick.
And the opening credits are still the same. And you get goosebumps every time you hear it.
That's so cool. Now, you guys have obviously seen this, at least a few of the first episodes. Are you going to have a viewing party or anything like that? Or are you going to be out doing press for it?
No, we actually do a Dallas Roundup, which is once you air, I think after the East Coast feed, we're going to be live. And giving
on
TNT.com/Dallas, we're gonna after every episode that airs on TV, we go online and we answer questions and we talk about the episode you just saw. So should be fun.
Scoop. All right, cool. I'm gonna wait and watch. I have the fourth episode to watch, so I'm not gonna ask any questions. Just watch it the right way. But they already have like five questions, because they're expert at setting up this stuff that just drives you out of your mind. Like, what's his story? I know this guy's not on the up and up. So who's ever writing the script's doing a great job.
It happens really recaptures.
Really?
Oh yeah.
All right, cool.
Read a script, we're like, what's gonna happen? Oh yeah, and then we sit around on set and we're like, okay, but I think that this is what you're gonna do, and then this is what, and I think that that's what he's gonna do.
Wait, did she just say that?
I think she said.
I kind of stopped.
She
said,
yeah. It was close enough.
She knows TNT. They can curse now.
Yeah, she's getting all loose with her language.
I'm used to cursing, damn it.
You know what?
I just did it again.
Casey, our producer, wants me to play this for you. This is another Dallas theme that we hadn't uncovered years ago.
And right.
This is the French Dallas theme, which is pretty wild. It's totally, completely different. And there's vocals. Here it comes.
No. Who says da-la? I understand why. You know what? Actually, my friend, I have an English friend that came to my house and said, you know, we were talking about Dallas, and she's like, oh, this is so cool. It was huge in England. And she started singing a song, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And she's like, no, you've never heard of this? It's the same theme. And it's a song that they talk about JR and Bobby. And
there's lyrics.
There's lyrics.
Huh. All right, then we'll have to find that.
like
we, we've got the do we have the German version or
no? No, but we, like, we went through like all the different TV themes in different languages.
Here, do
wait,
this
can one. I want to see like,
okay.
Wait,
go
wait,
ahead.
I can't find it.
We have the German version of the nanny.
Well, that's what I was.
Gonna... Oh, oh yeah. Thanks, Nick.
Sorry.
Nick.
Thanks a lot.
Here's we're a playing. Picture of Jordana's mom.
Yeah. Here, do this one.
Oh, good.
Here.
Sie verkaufte Hochzeitskleider und war sehr mundän. Doch ihr Freund nahm sich eine andere und sie musste gehen. Da saß sie nun, wusste nicht wohin ohne ihren Danny.
Pretty good. All right, now, you guys, you don't speak German, but both of you speak Spanish fluently, right?
I speak Portuguese.
Portuguese?
And Spanish.
Right, well, but you speak Spanish?
Yeah, I'm Argentinian, born and raised.
All right, this is for you.
Que nos traerá el futuro, que puede adivinar. Si escuchas lo que digo, no te
adivinas.
No debes preocuparte.
You're probably too young.
No. You know it. Hold on, go to the chorus.
Recuerda que hoy el sol brillará.
Three's Company?
No.
It sounds like it.
Y no te cortes, sonríe ya. Los malos rollos siempre se van.
Nothing?
Y no te prives, la vida es para
about
disfrutar.
A precocious young teen?
I didn't grow up in this country.
Oh, Doogie Howser.
Oh, okay.
No.
No. I was
totally. I didn't have an American childhood. I moved to this country in 1990, and from then on, I still even watched a lot of Spanish
okay.
Yeah. Stuff.
Blossom.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
Where did you grow up?
Buenos Aires, in Argentina.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any hint of an accent at all?
I don't think so. I think at first I did. When I started working in this industry, I started working with a dialect coach just to make sure I didn't. But
well, it worked.
Because I don't look Spanish, so there's no way in hell I could ever play Spanish.
Yeah.
I got lucky.
If when you go back though, does your accent?
Oh yeah,
right
yeah. Well, if I'm tired or I'm angry or I'm drunk, it comes out.
Dude, that city is like in my top five on bucket list. I have to get there at some point. It's just apparently like the coolest city in South America. Maybe Rio's cooler. I don't know, Jordana.
Rio's
but
amazing.
Yeah, but it's just supposed to be absolutely beautiful.
It's architecturally really beautiful. It's very European. So yeah.
Okay. Well, we found out a lot about these ladies this morning. Well, Dallas is going to be on TNT, and it's Wednesday, June 13th, and you'll catch it on Wednesday nights. And these gals are working hard. They're going to leaving here, and they're going to Boston, and they're going to New York.
Doing the big push.
Yeah, so they're doing the whole deal.
Yeah.
So thank you, ladies, for coming by here. We appreciate it, and good luck with everything. So let me. Here's the real thing.
The real one.
All right. Jordana Brewster and Julie Gonzalez.
Thank you so much.
Dallas. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Dallas! Stay there.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
I'm going to start with a downer here, okay, guys? I'm going to get this out of the way.
All right, do it.
But the first chimpanzee born at the L.A. Zoo in 13 years was mauled to death Tuesday by an adult chimp in front of a crowd of visitors.
Oh, my God.
Some kids were in the audience as well.
They can be very brutal.
Oh, yeah. The unnamed infant was born March 6th to Gracie, who was being allowed to keep the infant overnight to grieve. When the adult male chimp began attacking the infant, zoo staff were unable to remove her from the exhibit because policy forbids them from entering the same space as the animals, which are strong and potentially dangerous. Zoo staff did not witness the killing but said the attack went down in front of a crowd of visitors. The zoo in Griffith Park houses one of the nation's largest troops of chimps, 15 in all, in a North American zoo. And Tuesday's violence against the infant, who was gradually introduced to the group, was unexpected for the staffers that make up the zoo's grade ape team.
But
they were torn up about it.
They did say that anyone who witnessed the brutal mauling would get a free slushie.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Oh, nice!
Well, at least they get some sort of compensation. Yeah.
Let's see here. A grocery store in Denmark invited the first 100 shoppers who came to the store completely naked up to $276 worth of groceries for free. The manager, Nils Sterndorf, said, "I never thought 100 people would come. I thought maybe like 10. Well, more than 200 naked people showed up in hopes of being part of the group to walk away with the free groceries. In the video showing the event, customers are seen waiting in the lot before stripping and entering the store to fill their cars with wine and food.
Could you imagine how disgusting that was?
How about this? Fort Lauderdale police arrested a 400-pound naked woman who was sitting on a bus stop bench. Police said 52-year-old Patricia McCollum was arrested on charges of exposure.
I like to watch Lamar Odom play.
The wrong one.
I want to hear the rest of that.
All right. Yeah.
I like to watch Lamar Odom play Xbox while his giant wife yells at him. Is that so nuts?
Wow.
But if you can, think of that in context.
Yes.
400
pounds. Well, it's a large naked woman.
Right.
So
who would be go. Like, in a way, like Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah. Police said 52-year-old nice. Patricia McCollum was arrested on charges of exposure of sexual organs in public. During her court appearance, McCollum said she's homeless and was only attempting to change her clothes. She explained, "That's why I was changing my clothes on the bus bench. I don't have anywhere else to stay but bus benches."
Could she have gone behind the bus bench?
Police have reportedly warned the woman about this type of behavior in the past. And let's see. We'll do one more story to wrap it up because we do have another guest to get to. Swede nets ref. This is the headline. Okay, I'll read it like this.
Okay. All right.
Swede nets refund after flying with dead man.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Lena Peterson said, "Of course it was unpleasant, but I am not a person who makes a big fuss." When Peterson boarded her flight for Amsterdam, she noticed that her co-passenger wasn't looking very well. She said he was sweating and was having convulsions, adding that while the flight attendants were present, the plane took off all the same. When the aircraft was airborne, staff put out a call for medical help, and while the ailing man was subsequently given cardiac massage, he died a few hours later.
This is right at the beginning of the trip?
Yeah, with the airway staff seemingly baffled by all the events and their next course of action, Peterson was obliged to sit only a narrow aisle away from the dead man
Jesus.
For the remainder of her overnight flight. It was a long flight.
So there is a freshly dead body within feet of her.
Yeah, Peterson decided to seek compensation.
Did they at least give her that guy's peanuts?
From the airline, concluding that she had not been entirely satisfied.
I don't think he's going to eat his pudding.
With her flight, so they gave her a free...
If he's not going to eat his pudding, could I have that?
They gave her a free flight. And there you go. That is what we have in the Bizarre File right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay right there.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now. Papa Roach.
I want to elevate. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I got this email over the weekend, and it is extremely timely with a story you had in the news, Kathy. Let me read this for you. The subject line is suckling in public.
Suckling in public.
It says, hey, guys, first off, you guys rock. I am not sure if this topic is worthy of discussion for the morning show or not, but I wanted to make mention of this to your show as possibly a way to gain public reaction to it. Today, as I was leaving the giant grocery store in the Plymouth Meeting Metroplex,
know it well,
a woman was sitting on the bench outside breastfeeding her child. While I understand children need to eat and it is a natural thing, but to sit in public with one breast completely exposed with only the child's mouth to cover the nipple, regardless of if the exposed area is worthy of cleavage corner, when did that become acceptable for public? Perhaps a towel or a diaper to cover up a bit while doing that, or sitting in your car with the AC on should be considered as an option. While the packaging is appealing to most men, should that be acceptable behavior for a mother? Like I said, that's a tough question.
He
said, like I said, not sure if this is worthy of conversation during the morning show, but I thought I would make mention of it. Thank you. That is from Mark.
Well, that is in the news. You had the story earlier, Kathy.
Yeah, it is. And that person said, when did it become acceptable? I think it's more, when was it not acceptable? Because I think way back when it was, and it was fine, and
you know, just recently it's been, you know, it's been, people are kind of getting up in arms about it. But this law has been passed that local governments may not prohibit public breastfeeding, whether or not the mother's breast is concealed or not. So if the mother just, if the baby is just sucking and that's all that's covering it, that's completely fine.
But isn't it standard protocol or procedure to and I've seen women do it and they do it in public, and sometimes you won't even know what's going on. They'll take like a little towel and drape it over, and sometimes you'll say, I've it's happened to me where it's, oh, there's a baby, she must be breastfeeding, but you can't tell. I think to flop the whole deal out there in public, that might be a little much.
I don't think it's a little much. I think it's, on a, case by case basis. I know my wife wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? Most people will kind of drape a blanket over or a towel or like this person said, go to your car or whatever. But, my wife, you would never see her breastfeeding in public just because, I don't know, she doesn't want her boob hanging out. But, I personally, if I saw that, I'd be like, all right, I have no problems with a boob hanging out of a shirt.
It does not bother me at all. I also would not whip my boob out if I had a child and breastfeed in public.
Don't even need a kid to do that. I'm just doing it constantly anyway.
I would put a blanket or something over me. I mean, if the kid's got to eat and your boobs are leaking all over the place, then that's what's going to happen. The milk's got to come out.
Your boobs are leaking all over the place.
Because that happens.
Slipped in your boob juice.
but I don't think that there is anything wrong with that. I have no problem. Was that you slipping up
the boob juice?
Boobies.
I have no problem. It does not bother me at all. I mean, if a woman's boob is hanging out, I'm more inclined to turn around and look. But, if they have to do that, go right ahead. But a friend of mine, I was with her, and she, freaked out when she saw it. Like, that is so disgusting. I can't believe they would do that in public. I'm like, who cares? The kid's got to eat.
I don't know.
That's what the problem is, though. Look, I don't have a problem with it either. I think that it's perfectly, obviously, natural. It's the most natural thing that you can do. Yeah. I think it's fine. My wife was
one thing more natural. But
you're right. But for the child and the mother, it's the most natural thing that you can do, and I think that it's completely fine. But there are people who will freak out about it, and therefore I think that a little modesty is important, just so that you're not, so it doesn't become an issue. And my wife would never do it in public because she was a little modest about all of it. She had trouble doing it. If I was around, I was it's fine.
There are things you should be able to. I mean, there are things like that. And I understand. Yeah, in public, that's it. There's some things that you do naturally. That just seemed correct to you. Like the other day, I got the bums rush out of CVS for grooming my pubes. And they said,
they have a problem with that?
And they said, and by the way, you're buying that brush. But, calm down, Puritan.
I have no problem with a woman whipping out the teat and going to it. I mean, it's no big. Who is that offending, by the way?
People get sticks up their ass. I guess also maybe for kids.
Kids probably did that at one point, but maybe you're talking about like toddler age or kids that are like 7, 8, 9 years old might find it funny or something like that. But I mean, to be honest,
who is it offending?
Yeah, it's not done in a salacious manner. I can understand why somebody might go, okay, maybe not here, in the middle of the food court, but
yeah.
But still,
on the 50-yard line,
I don't think that should be considered offensive.
No, at all.
Do you think that at least that person before they do it should get 4 or 5 people to say, "Would you like to look at my boob?"
Yeah,
and like rate it, and then say, "Okay, you can breastfeed in public."
Even as a kid, I would love to have an opportunity to see a bare boob. You know what I mean? Like a toddler,
not a human one.
A naked boob, not bears. A grizzly or nothing like that. No. I would love to see
that. I'm sorry. I was thinking a different.
But I totally forgot what I was going to say.
No, but Casey, I know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry. I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, my
Wait,
God. Is
did you just forget twice?
You forgot.
I remembered, and then I cut Nick off. That wasn't my initial.
Oh, I forgot.
You're anyway, okay with it.
I'm A-okay with, here's what I wanted to ask. Is it wrong for you to, is it wrong for you to catch to peek at it? You know what I mean? So if this lady is sitting there in the parking lot.
I think most women would, if you're looking, I think they would say that that's not you shouldn't stare.
Well,
so
yeah.
It's a double-edged sword, because every time I walk around with my nuts hanging out,
people
and
look.
I take a picture, dude. last longer.
Want some gum?
Yeah. Want some gum? Because I've already been chewed gum.
Okay, so I think if somebody's sitting there with it out and you know, the baby is breastfeeding, you're going to look. That's what's going to happen. If you're going to sit there and stare and drool, that's maybe not the greatest thing to do.
Kathy, if the breasts have tassels on them, is it okay to look then?
What, they just move the tassel?
Spinning one tassel.
So it doesn't drop in baby's eyes.
I think you should take a page out of Me, Myself, and Irene. If you've ever seen that.
She looks down and it's Jim Carrey sucking on
her. Hang on, let me go to some calls. I got Eric on the line. Hey, Eric, good morning, man.
You guys rock.
Eric, your brother, you're on the air. Go ahead, bud.
I don't see why people take offense to that. Yeah. I work at a Giant, and girls' boots hang out all the time. Their asses hang out underneath their skirts. Complaining's just another reason to get what they want and try to sue.
Eric.
See your boobs. Oh, my God, that would take so offense. Let's sue.
Eric, do you think that there's a case, though, like that's, and I, to sound, to take the devil's advocate here, are there some things that, you know, I mean, if someone's sort of like a mess, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Are you saying only good-looking people should breastfeed in public?
Like someone, if it's scary looking, I'm playing the devil's advocate here. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, could it be a little horrifying at some level? You know,
well, I think you need to take the good with the bad. If you're okay with boobs hanging out, then you know, for all the not so nice boobs.
See, I'm totally fine with it. Yeah. I think it wouldn't hurt to pop for anyone for discreet level to pop a towel or something over it.
I'm gonna go to Amy next. Hi, Amy. Good morning. You're on.
Hi.
What's up, Amy?
Hi. I was on your show. Hi. And I brought some breast milk with me, and so I'm pretty much an authority on that.
Oh, we remember when we all drank breast milk. Yes.
I drank breast milk.
Okay.
I had to breast milk in public maybe twice the 6 months that I was nursing my child, and I always put a blanket over. I didn't like doing it. I was embarrassed about it. I get embarrassed, not offended, when I see other women doing it. I think if you have to do it, you should cover a blanket over your breast and the child. I think that puts a kind of a vulnerability on yourself and your child if your boob is out there. I think strippers should be the only ones that show their boobies.
But see, Amy, I don't think you should be embarrassed. I think the fact that you're sitting there going, "What? Look at these!" That's what should be embarrassing.
Well, I mean, what if she didn't have a blanket? What if, you know, you can't remember everything all the time, you know?
Then I don't know. I think you should go somewhere where there's nobody else around if you have to. I don't know. I don't think it's healthy for your baby to
eat.
No, it's not going to affect your baby at all.
No, the kids, first of all, they don't even remember breastfeeding.
Yeah, I do every second.
Some of them breastfeed up to three or four years old, though.
Very bizarre. Hi, Mommy. You're looking good.
No, but I think if you can find, you know, a place where, you know, you could kind of do it in private, that's better. But it's sometimes an emergency, and these kids just need to eat, or else you're going to hear a screaming baby, and somebody else is going to be complaining about the screaming baby in the public place.
Oh, is that a little bit of a cinnamon I detected? Thank you, Mommy.
You know, I flew to L.A. once, and actually twice, but the one time, I...
Okay.
Okay, so now everyone knows that Casey went to L.A. twice. Yeah. Are you all okay with that?
No, but the one time I went out there, I was sitting next to this chick from Guatemala who didn't really speak English too much. And she had a baby with her.
She did not speak good.
Too much. Yeah,
whatever.
She barely could have spoke good or English.
Oh, dude, are we in English class right now?
Shut up.
Wow. All right, so anyway, but she had to breastfeed this thing. It's a awesome in the city.
So she had to breastfeed this thing.
This baby.
I'm not a doctor, but I'd probably call it a baby.
Yeah, so she was, but it's a five-hour flight. She had to breastfeed it a couple of different times throughout the flight, and I had no problems with it. She didn't have anything to cover up, and she had those big old brown Guatemalan nipples, and I was like, you know?
Big old brown Guatemalan.
Big brown Guatemalan nipples.
Yes!
That is the new song.
Big brown Guatemalan nipples.
I can't even say it.
Guatemalan nipples.
Guatemalan nipples.
Baby buggy bumper.
But it was awesome.
Breast milk means strong bones for baby, it's true. Let
No, keep it going.
Yeah, let's hear that again.
Give your baby the breast.
Ooh, la!
Give your baby the breast. Breast milk means strong bones for baby, it's true. Let's check
the Guatemalan nipples.
It's so, so good. Helps keep diabetes, obesity, and cancer at bay. So let your baby grow healthy the natural way.
By the way, any pop song that features the word cancer is always going to be a home run.
And it gets rid of cancer too. God. And that incredible pain of childbirth.
Oh, God.
Ta ta ta.
Big brown Guatemala nipples.
I cannot get that out of my head now.
Awesome in the city.
Awesome in the city.
Getting sucked on by all sorts of pipples.
Oh, big brown Guatemala nipples.
It's done by all sorts of pipples.
We need a bean.
I had to get up and walk away for a minute.
Oh, all right, hold on a minute. I'm going to go with Melissa. Hi, Melissa. Good morning.
I like turtles.
I like turtles.
What's going on, Melissa?
Oh, my God.
I like turtles.
Sorry. I have no problem with breastfeeding babies. I have no problem with, you know, mothers and babies, you know, natural, you know, oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Except when I'm eating lunch in a huge crowded restaurant where there's less than 100 feet away from you a bathroom, and you're sitting next to me and you whip it out and attach your kid, and I have to sit there and listen to this sucking the entire time that I'm trying to eat, it literally made me nauseous.
Melissa, I agree that on a level, you know, I think it's beautiful, it's natural, it's every woman's right to do it. I also think that in there can be a little sense of decorum. And
right.
that you can put a towel over or maybe go to another part. I think almost some women do it defiantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like
right.
almost
and
try
exactly
to make a spectacle out of it.
Dude, there are breastfeeding Nazis out there.
Well, there are. Yeah.
I mean, there are people who...
Militant.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. They want to show that breastfeeding is okay.
Yeah.
There
right.
are people, and those who have gone through pregnancy classes and things like that, sometimes you'll get an instructor that is very pro-breastfeeding, and they will push that on you, you know?
And,
right.
I mean, it was just hysterical, because, I mean, it wasn't even like a McDonald's where it's like Playland with a bunch of kids and moms and stuff. No, it was like a Panera Bread where there's like all these, you know, suits and ties sitting all around.
And free Wi-Fi.
Lunch, like, you know, business lunches and stuff, and all of a sudden...
On the other hand, a woman has to do it 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 times a day. The baby has to eat when the baby has to eat.
Right.
And you get used to, you know, a certain schedule with the baby. So, you know, I can certainly forgive a woman because I'm never going to have to go through it of just whipping it out when it's necessary sometimes. And you know, I'm sure that many women will find a place to do it a little bit more privately. But, you know, sometimes they just don't care because their baby, you know, their milk factory is at that
point. Do you see that there is, what Press was just saying, that sometimes there are people who are almost militantly looking to make a spectacle?
Oh, sure, yeah. Okay. And people, like Preston said, really, really push breastfeeding, too. But it, sometimes, you know, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, no, it's understandable.
And if you have an infant, and I don't, you know, and I don't have a kid, but I know that this is how it is. If you have an infant that needs to eat, you're going to take the kid to the bathroom where the mom then has to hold the baby standing up, try to get her shirt up, try to get her bra
exactly.
off. No, she needs to sit down and breastfeed her kid. If it's that disgusting to you that's making you nauseous, get up and move to a different table. It's a lot easier for you to move to a different table than for this woman to grab the baby and all of their things.
Here's an easy
else.
Thing to do. If you're in a Panera, they keep the garbage in like a little cabinet.
Yeah.
You can get inside with the baby and put your head through the hole. And then it's just...
And nobody will see anything from the neck down.
Everything's covered. But they know it's occupied because the head is
breastfeeding, dude. Throw out your salad later.
Here's an interesting email or instant message. This is from Beckley 420. It says, boobs.
That's what it says.
It says, when my kids got past a month or two old,
It's really hard to cover up because they just like to rip the covering down and wave it around like a welcoming flag.
Really?
And I feel like that draws more attention to the fact. Yeah, because kids, after a couple of months, they get real gray.
Very tactile.
Yeah, and in fact, that I'm, the fact that I'm breastfeeding and ups the chance of a full boob show because my kid is waving the flag around, not eating. And I'm trying to cover back up, so I don't bother trying anymore, this woman says. So,
yeah. But you know what, Nick? You made, Nick made a... He made a really good point about the how often women are breastfeeding. I mean, it is a every 45 minutes, every hour type of deal.
That's how often it is when you're going the natural way.
Especially early on, too. Early. And I'm sure it just becomes so tedious. And when you get to your breaking point, it's like if you had to go to the bathroom so bad and you just could not find anywhere to go, eventually you're going to say, screw it. I'm going right now. Here. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm just going to go. So after months and days and hours and hundreds of times breastfeeding, you know, I'm just going to do it where I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Because
you got you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when you whip out your big brown Guatemala nipples.
Big brown Guatemala nipples.
Getting sucked down by all sorts of pimples.
Oh. You know that's a hit in the making.
I'm gonna go to... And by the way, I'm waiting for like a screen name, Guatemala Nipple, to pop up on AOL now. Let me go to Jacqueline. Hey, Jacqueline, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Jacqueline. What's going on?
I'm just kind of wondering, whatever happened to breast pumps? Do people not use these anymore?
You know, that's a good... I was just thinking about that. Is that a suitable alternative if you pump the breast milk ahead of time? And
can
have
I carry
that
the
you?
Big old breast pump with you to the mall?
Well, no.
I mean, I'm a preschool teacher, so we have the infant room and everything like that. And these kids, you know, they use the breast milk through the bottles and everything like that. The mothers pump before they bring the kids in all day, but they still feel the need to come in at the end of the day and breastfeed their kids no matter where they are throughout the school.
Jacqueline, I having never had kids, I don't know what the story is, but will a child sometimes not take to the bottle? And prefer, like, can a baby tell the difference between a natural?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, and will, yes. will a baby refuse the rubber?
Sometimes.
Nip? Okay.
Yes, the baby will refuse the rubber nipple, but it's one of those things where when they're at the preschool all day long, you know, they'll eventually get used to it. So, I mean, we do have kids who we know will take the bottle, and you have the mothers who will come in. And, I mean, we've had this one mother who will, she'll be out on the playground picking up her kid who's in pre-K, and she will just whip it out around all the parents and all the other kids.
You know, I've heard a fair amount. You think this would be something that guys would, I hear just as many, if not more, women getting freaked out
about
this.
Well, because they probably wouldn't feel it. They feel like they wouldn't do it themselves. But, right. You know, Jacqueline also... No. Your boob also runs dry, so the breast pump is only good as long as you have milk in your teat. So,
Well, and... I mean, I guess, like, I know at Melissa's work, Nick's wife, they have, like, a breast pump room, don't they?
Yeah, and she would actually have to physically get up from her desk. And, you know, again, this is not a fun thing if you're trying to be modest, but it's necessary when you're still pumping breast milk. But
and in here is the breast pump room.
But so,
this gentleman's name is Sal. He'll be assisting you. Oh, I'm good at breast pumping. Oh, you're Nick's wife. I'll be good to you, girlie. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The leche.
That's Spanish for milk.
Yes, so she, you know.
Thank you.
She would do it when necessary. But, you know, again, when you're out in public, when it's time for the kid to feed, if you don't have the breast pump with you, you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what the kid needs, and you got to do what
pump.
You, and you got to do what you need, and you got to make sure that that you're taken care of and that the child's taken care of.
You guys, we're all married here, so you know that, you know, sometimes you may have to see your spouse in a compromising position.
Oh,
or
all the porn movies.
No. But, like, you know, if you need to be in the bathroom while they're going to the bathroom, and sometimes that's okay, other times it's not. But I walked in on my wife, and we have the mechanical pump. I walk in, and she's just sitting there, and it looks like she's doing Tune In Tokyo. And I open the door, like, maybe 2 feet, and she's like, get out.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Does she have to pump now before the baby's born?
No, no. This is when we had the baby.
Oh, all right. Okay.
But she will be doing it again, right?
Yeah, Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, all that stuff is sanitized and all that. We're ready to go.
Well, according to this law,
right,
it is not illegal. You cannot be asked to leave in a public place.
Yep, exactly.
For doing that. So,
public or any sort of private, even, you know, like if you're, you know, out at a restaurant or something like that, you know, they you cannot ban women from breastfeeding.
So what you're saying is when I was grooming my pubes in CVS, they had no right to kick me out.
See, that is completely different from breastfeeding.
Right. Okay, you're right, I guess.
No, you can't do that. But the breastfeeding, apparently, it's okay.
Okay.
Especially if you have big brown Guatemala nipples.
Getting sucked on by all sorts of pipples.
So there you go, friend. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay where you are, my friend.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, what happened?
Oh, Fred.
Ready?
That's exactly it. Yeah, we were just talking about Fred Willard a moment ago. Steve played that clip. That's from A Mighty Wind, I think. And he was allegedly busted in a old style porn theater. And
I mean, he was classic. Yeah, spanking it.
I mean, that's according to the police. And I had read a report that said he had his pants down, he had his hand on his member, and was enjoying himself. And he's saying no, he wasn't even there. But we'll have to see how this all plays out. You know what? I busted my dad diddling himself.
No,
did
you?
Did
you really?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, man.
But I didn't see
Did you walk in playing with yourself?
No.
Dad, this is my room.
I didn't see him in the act of it, but I know that's what he was doing.
How did you know?
Because he quickly turned off the TV and was acting very nervous and shuffling around. And I know, and it was in the days of VHS video.
How about those Yankees?
And
what?
I'm pretty positive. And then later on, I found a porn tape, and I was like, that's not mine. That's not mine. And I know he was doing it.
I have a friend who...
And I felt kind of happy for him, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Go ahead, he was still going at it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I have one where the person was not happy to discover this. My friend was staying over at her boyfriend's house, and the boyfriend had left for work. She came downstairs, and the boyfriend's father was sitting at the computer and doing it.
Oh, my God.
And so she walked into the room.
Was it at the kitchen table?
It was in the office, his office. And he was assuming that she was still asleep or whatever. So she walked into the room.
Good morning.
Saw that this was happening, but he had his back to her. She tried as quietly as possible because that was the way out. That was the way out of the house. She had to back out. Turn around.
It's like Homer Simpson back here.
You're right.
Yeah.
And like, you know, every little creak of the hardwood floors, like she was terrified.
And how did he cover it? By
never
going like,
turned around,
oh, QuickBooks.
Pretended like it never happened.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Terrible. Do you think that he knew that she saw?
I don't know how he wouldn't have known.
So your belief is he just... I can't acknowledge this. Because
exactly. Yeah.
I will just keep going and doing what I'm doing and just hope we'll never speak of this.
No eye contact, no conversation about it afterwards. No, like, because it wasn't even like she was busting her dad or a friend. She was busting the boyfriend's father.
Worst.
Yeah.
Looks like together? You need a little help.
No, Casey, actually, they broke up.
They did. Okay. Yeah.
But you know what? Listen. And
they say the acorn never squirts far from the tree.
Ew.
That's the old saying.
Now, listen. And in defense of that guy. All right, the father.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's in that scenario would seem gross and pervy and messed up and all that stuff. But in defense, I mean, we all do it.
Yeah,
right.
It's the absolute truth.
I mean, there's nothing that I think that's crazy. Right.
No, and it's in his home, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. It's in his home, in his office, which he uses to pleasure himself in.
Where you should.
Yeah. It's your private area.
And that was back in the day, I'm sure, when he didn't have a laptop.
Gas
where
was
he
10
could go
cents.
Anywhere he wanted to, and gas was 10 cents, and you could have dinner for the night for $1. But.
The sounds of Rudy Valley filled the airwaves.
Right.
And our nation went to war.
No, but that's probably when they had the monitor and tower and all that stuff.
This is like 2 or 3 years ago. So,
okay, maybe he did have a laptop. Guess could have gone in the bathroom.
You're trying to. He had a Commodore 64, I guess.
Yeah.
A dot matrix printer, probably a 56K modem.
You guys remember the story I told you before about the guy who was laying on our car in the middle of a
a diner parking lot.
That's right. This,
were you in high school?
That's what he was doing. No, we were in college.
Okay. He was going at it on the hood of your car. Mm-hmm. You're sitting in a diner, and when you come out to get into the car,
he's laying on the hood.
He's doing a little paint job.
Pants were down to his ankles. He had on, I remember this, he had on like fluorescent yellow underwear, and it was, I mean, full. He was going to town.
How did you ladies enjoy the meal?
Right.
what's good to eat in there?
And we screamed, like, and it wasn't even like it was a dark parking lot. I mean, it was at night, but it was a well-lit parking lot, and we were parked right by the window of the diner.
I forgot to ask you this when you initially told the story. Do you believe that because it was a car that belonged to a bunch of women, that's why he picked it?
Yeah, because we actually saw him on our way in. He watched us get out of the car. Oh. Yeah, and then
that's a deviant. I mean,
that's not just, that's a little more than creepy.
Yeah.
My buddy got caught by his mom, which is, I'm sure it happens all the time, but he was, for some reason, standing on his bed.
What?
Standing on his bed?
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I never asked him why.
Excuse me, Ricky. How? Ricky, I did see what you were doing. It felt good, didn't it?
Wait a minute. Now, you had to have asked him why. Why didn't you ask him why?
You know what? It's been... We were in high school when he told me this story. So this is like, coming up on 20 years ago. So
standing,
I don't remember
on the bed.
Can we call him? Oh. Do you have his number? Because I need to know.
Yeah, I mean,
why standing on your bed?
Well, while Casey looks for his number.
Hey, Mom!
Yeah.
Look at this! Attention, everyone! I'm spanking it!
Let me tell you this one, because I thought this was so strange, and I don't know if you guys would or not, but they're probably listening, too. My friends, the wife walked in on the husband, who was in the bathroom, but he was doing it into the sink. Mm-hmm. Is that weird?
Yes.
I thought that was very strange.
Listen, it's
just, I peed in the sink.
We all do. Yeah. You pick your spots. The shower, I'm sure, is in the top five.
She yelled at him and said, "I brushed my teeth in there."
Do you rub your toothbrush into the bottom of the
no, but why? That's, but
and
he,
his
of
response
just,
was, "That's so hot."
But yeah. Instead of just walking out, she yelled at him.
I brushed my teeth.
All of this
exactly
begs the question. Could not Fred Willard have done this at home?
I think in the sink would have been better than a movie theater.
Is there not at the ready, at any, listen, on your computer, on your iPad, on your phone, you can mail order it.
True, but Steve, and some of us have admitted on this show, being in the car on a long drive.
Absolutely. You could do it in the car.
Yeah.
Why you would go into a public, hell, you could use your phone, your mobile phone, for your visual stimuli, there are just so many options. Why he would have done this just boggles the mind.
And I have some calls of stories, and I need to ask you to select your language properly.
Appropriately.
Let me go to Dan. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
What's up, my man?
All right, yeah, in high school, this was a couple years ago, but one of my friends was beating it in his room,
right.
And he said as he finished, his legs buckled, and he hit his head on the computer counter, knocked out, and he woke up to his mom waking him up with his bird in his hand.
Oh, wow. My God!
Wow.
Knees buckled,
story,
hits his head,
swear,
passes
everyone
out.
Everyone in high school knew about it.
Oh, dude, that's horrible. That's
that
horrible.
Was the night he proposed to himself.
Dan, what year in high school was that, do you know?
Was that was probably
sophomore, junior?
Probably my sophomore year, so back in like 2005.
So that guy had a few more years of high school dealing with that.
Yeah, everybody know about it.
The thing is that it's sort of a don't ask, don't tell. Everyone knows.
Sure.
Especially like in Bridesmaids, the mother that talks about.
Yeah. But you know what, Steve? When you and I, because we're older than these guys, and it wasn't as openly discussed as it is now. And in fact, you were kind of, if you were ever busted doing it, you were almost an outcast.
You were going to go blind.
Yeah,
you had sinned. This video is that I was playing the audio from this thing.
Excuse me, Ricky.
Yeah,
Ricky, I did see what you were doing.
The '80s.
It felt good, didn't it?
I didn't. I got
could you imagine your mother coming into your room and having that talk with you? And in the video, the kid's like, "Sweet Jesus Christ, I want to die."
I feel like I started in that whole process a little bit later in life. But even still, when I first started out, I didn't even think to do something as simple as shutting my bedroom door.
I knew that would be an integral part of the experience.
Oh, I barricaded the door.
Yeah.
But I lived, you know,
I nailed the door shut. They did less work on closing the door in Night of the Living Dead than I did.
But my house is so old, I could hear people coming.
Right.
There you go.
We'll just leave that.
Hey, I could hear people walking, I should say. And, you know, like the steps were, you know.
I could hear people coming all over the house.
So could they.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, man.
I don't know. Yeah. There were just certain things you did,
yeah.
You know? There was a certain protocol.
I'm sorry. Okay.
That was unintentional.
Phone call. Let me go to Roy. Hey, Roy. Good morning, Roy.
The house is so old, I can hear people.
Oh, instant classic.
Yeah. Roy, what's your story, man?
When I was in eighth grade, you know, my dad's bathroom had a tile floor. My little brother used to creep under and look under, and there was a reflection of me doing my business on the toilet seat.
Oh.
He waited 2 years to bring it up when in 10th grade it was more or less humorous and funny.
Yeah.
But if he had brought it up in 8th grade, it would have ruined.
Oh, yeah, right? Ruined and killed your rep. Or
no,
he would have had it
exactly.
Over
and you, Preston, you
couldn't hear him coming.
So. Preston, you bring up a good point, though. There was a time when that you would have been, and yes. You would have gotten the nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You would have
Spanky
been.
Spanky or whatever
it
would have been.
The whole deal.
But now, and thankfully, thanks to some movies like American Pie and stuff like that, you know, it's okay. It's a,
thanks
know,
to the invention of the cell phone.
Yeah. That too. Yeah, when we, for he said under the door thing, when my wife and I are intimate, we put pillows.
Do you really?
Yeah, under the gap of the door.
You don't do it on the bed?
No.
Oh, I see.
We do it on the bed, but we'll cover the gap underneath. It's a tiny gap, but I mean, our kids in the past have been like, what are you guys doing in there? They'll actually lean down.
Listen to the intercom.
Oh, and put their mouth up against the gap in the door. Oh, why won't you let us in? Go away.
Oh, no.
At this point. How old is
our
Parker,
oldest Parker? Yeah. He is going to turn 12 in August. So,
so
he knows what's up.
He knows, okay. He knows what you're doing
so,
in there.
So you could say, Daddy, could you just say, in your way, Daddy wants to bang Mommy?
I probably could. I'm not going to.
Like Carlos Mencia's right. Parents.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I'm splitting your mother in half right now.
We'll be out.
My daddy's playing Border Patrol.
Right, in just a few minutes. But unlike Casey's house, you can't hear anybody coming around my house. It's all
no, you just have to listen to the intercom.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good story.
Oh, yeah,
What was that again? Was that you were having sex and the intercom was on?
Yeah,
yeah.
And the reason the intercom was on, this is when Caroline was a lot younger, and we used the intercom system as a baby monitor sometimes, and I had it locked in the on position and forgot that we left it on. It was later in the day.
And did the kids hear anything?
Actually, you know what? It might have been earlier.
They high-fived you.
Well, we think they may have heard.
Yes.
But they were too young to know what was going on at that point. Hang on a second here.
What's the Eiffel Tower, Daddy?
Hang on.
There's another guy involved?
I'm just very limber.
Oh, cool. Oh, nice.
Let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, fellas. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, man?
Hey, listen. All right. Here we go. There's a buddy of mine. He's a union carpenter, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
He's sitting on his couch, naked, with the film on the big screen, and his daughter and her girlfriend decide to walk in to the house from their junior year of high school.
Oh, no.
Listen.
I go to the couch.
Yeah.
Behind the couch, naked, between the sliding glass door and the couch, he realizes there's nowhere to go. So he gets up, trucks through the family room, buck nude, starts running up the steps, yelling, I'm only human.
Oh, my God.
He made it 10 times worse.
No.
That's my story, fellas.
That's bad.
Oh, that is wild. I think at that point, you commit to it and you say, who's your friend?
No.
Oh, man, that is terrible.
But, I mean, and that with your kids, and Steve, you had a moment with your mom and dad.
It scarred me for life.
Forever. See, how old were you when that happened?
About 15.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you weren't too young to...
No, I knew exactly what was going on.
What was
I
happening?
Just thought mom had taken a keen interest in dad's belt.
A friend of mine got locked out of his house, and he was living at home at the time, got locked out of his house, and showed up. There was loud music playing. He didn't understand why the door was locked. The door was never locked, so he went to the side window to like knock on the window to see if anybody was home, and he saw his dad's hiney going up and down
really?
On the couch. Oops. And to this day, he won't sit on that couch.
Yeah, no. It really, and that's a good piece of advice to all parents, you know, whatever you have to do, block that imagery out, because it haunts me to this day.
By the way, we got this conversation started with the Fred Willard story, in case you're just tuning in. He was apparently busted in a porn house, you know, a movie
theater. An adult
film
theater.
With his pants down and enjoying himself, and we have this wonderful clip.
You and I are mature adults. We've both seen our share of pornographic materials.
That's talk perfect. About you know prescience there.
By the way, this is Fred Willard we're talking about, not as one text suggested Fred Savage from the Wonder Years.
No,
two entirely different actors.
Yes,
Fred Willard is 72 in the Christopher Guest.
Which,
movies.
By the way, 72. If he's not using some kind of chemical enhancement to come to attention and fully enjoy. That's impressive.
That's what I said. You were. It's almost a dichotomous reaction. You're aghast, and you're also, hey, good for you.
I'm happy for him.
Maybe he is, and it
maybe
was uncontrollable, and that's why you need to quick run into a movie theater.
Oh my God! Even when that was one of the only options, I would never have been caught dead in a place like that. Why a respected comedic actor would end up in a place like that with a multitude of options blows my mind.
My best friend, and this was such a classic story. You remember the days of Steve of the Spice Channel.
God, it was the greatest thing ever.
And the majority in the daytime hours, it would be
scrambled. Yeah.
So, but every now and then, fate would be wonderful, and it would offer you a semi unobstructed view for a minute or two.
Well, you'd be. And the image would stabilize for a second. And you would just wait. And you had to get good at timing it out. It was almost like learning Morse code, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And my best friend, Steve, I guess we were in our young 20s, still living at home, you know, working jobs, but still trying to make your way in the world. And so he took the opportunity to, he wasn't going to let this one pass by. He had a clear moment. It was clear. It was a beautiful day. Something, sunspots, or whatever was taking place. And so he decided to take care of business, and his mom walked in, and he said, and it was just full on. There was no question, full view, and I said, "What did you do?" He said, "She came in, she left immediately." He just goes, "I just went." that's it. That's the only reaction.
You know,
he's
what,
like,
what
am I going to do now, huh?
You know, mom has to suspect it's going on.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of the, it's so funny that we all dance around it, you know, but it's still that sort of forbidden thing, and it should not be a spectator event. That's for sure.
I agree. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I want to ask a question that you sort of brought up a little bit earlier, Steve, about like if you're at an adult movie theater, isn't that kind of expected? Like, don't you look the other way, so to speak?
Unless you're there because you're doing your thesis,
right?
No, of course that's what you're there for.
So why?
And that's why they're. You know, that's the classic thing. In fact, the ones that used to be in Times Square, the dudes would go in, and you never wanted to be on that block, for Christ's sake, because people were coming out of those theaters.
You know what? A very interesting instant message just popped up, and it said to ask our female listeners if they've ever been busted. Very rare. It's always guy stories.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I have a friend whose husband busts her all the time. He actually says that she has the problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever busted
women? No.
Yeah.
Women can be much more discreet about it, though.
They have a place to hide it.
Yeah, they have some of those that are... They have some of those that are nearly silent. Those little, you know, like tiny ones, the little pocket rocket things.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They're virtually silent, and you could, I mean, as opposed to.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, I think it's easier for women to hide it.
I think it, yes, there's certainly.
Or even if they're not using an apparatus. Right. They're using their, you know, God-given
talents.
Their
lawnmower.
Yeah. Their what?
Their lawnmower.
that would be an apparatus.
Well, you sure love mowing.
I love it. I love it so much.
What'd you say? Go
sit on the dryer.
But I'm curious. I'm curious if there are any ladies that may have been busted, or you have a story that you walked in on.
I'm sure.
But these theaters, the concept of a woman in a theater like this is completely alien. If you ever see shots of the classic, they did some documentaries. There's a great documentary on Deep Throat. On the movie when it came out, and the sort of culture that fostered it and all of that stuff, and they would show shots of theaters for that movie. That was actually considered a date movie when it came out. But before that,
Deep Throat was
yes, yeah. It was sort of the oh my god, we're going to go see this thing, and that was you know, and that's how it was presented, and it actually had an audience for that. But I'm sure Fred Willard it wasn't a co-ed audience. No. While Fred Willard was doing this.
No, probably not.
About 7 or 8 other guys who have not heard of the internet.
Right. And by the way, now going back, thinking about women, getting busted while enjoying themselves. It's got to happen. I see it in movies all the time, right?
Yes. Like the guy that the plumber shows up and he busts her.
Yeah, sure.
The pizza delivery guy.
Ma'am, what are you doing there?
What's going on in the corner?
Yeah.
Well, we've talked to a number of truck drivers who said that they will see women
driving along and doing the deal. Yeah, sure. I don't know. It's just something you always perceive statistically as being more
the guy.
The guy's where you're killing time.
Yeah. Let me see here. What the hell? Line 4?
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Okay. It looks weird enough to go to. Dustin, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. How you doing?
Good. We're looking at a description of what you might have to say. It doesn't make any sense.
It's like the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. What's the story here?
I don't know. I was like 10, 11, 12 years old at the time. I was sitting there sleeping in bed. I heard my mom and her boyfriend start yelling my name like repeatedly over and over again. Well, they were kind of laughing about it and stuff too. But I went downstairs and they're laughing. They're both kind of covered up with a blanket, but kind of not. And I had a bottle of contact cement sitting there on the nightstands.
Okay.
They said they glued their nipples together.
They had glued their nipples together?
By accident?
I guess it was on purpose, and I guess the glue was supposed to wear off or something like that, and it didn't.
So you saying they were doing some sort of bizarre, freaky sex thing, and as they were doing this, they were yelling your name out?
Well, just so I can go down there and help them.
No, they were calling him for help.
Because I'm like,
they were stuck together.
That's what gets you horny?
Dustin, what did you do?
They actually sent me out around to go find some acetone or some paint thinner or something so they can get themselves unstuck.
Oh, my God.
That's right out of growing pains.
Were you scarred for life, Dustin?
Oh, yeah, I still think about it from time to time. I still giggle about it and I tease my mom about it.
I was going to say, have you ever spoken of it with your mother?
Oh, yeah, all the time on numerous occasions.
Wow. Since when did crazy gluing your nipples together become a sex thing? We talk about this, Preston, the level of perversion and the things that people find.
Yeah.
Like the dude in the Walmart.
Yeah, there was a story the other day of the guy asking the foot sucker.
Yeah, he said he was with America's Funniest Videos.
Yeah, tricking people into suck their feet, and they get off on that. And then there was the lawyer story the other day of him licking his client's ear.
Could you imagine Perry Mason doing that?
And apparently that's that was out of left field. So there are people that will do these weird things that sexually, I guess, turn them on or even get them off.
Dude on Kathy's car.
Yeah. That is messed up. I don't know. I'm fairly normal in my. But I mean,
yes.
You know,
yeah. Right. Exactly.
I don't know. Hang on. Let me go to George. Hey, George. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
You doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, I was in the hospital when I was 38. Had a heart attack. And they put me on a wireless heart monitor.
Yes.
Well, at first I didn't know it was wireless. I didn't know technology got up that high.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to go to the bathroom. I was hitting on this candy striper. So I went in the bathroom. They finally let me take a shower.
Yeah.
So I've been there going to town. My heart rate speeds up. The wireless monitor goes to the office. And they come running over the cash, a crash cart. They thought I had a heart attack.
And you're standing there, hopping on one leg in the shower with it in your hand.
I was just going to town. And then I looked at them. They're like, oh, what are you doing? I said, what's it look like?
Can I finish now?
God, George. That, and that's the classic, by the way, the candy striper.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who checks out internet porn periodically.
That's a theme. Used to be a theme.
Yeah. The candy striper.
They don't exist anymore, do they, candy stripers?
You know what? That's a good question.
They have, like, book carts and stuff that they bring around. And the classic candy striper, or at least in as pornography depicts them, are soup.
Yes.
I brought you this beautiful handy.
Let me go to... Go to Ashley. Hey, Ashley, how you doing?
Kazooks.
What's up, Ashley?
Nothing.
We have to be less descriptive than the than that. But you were enjoying yourself, and your mother walked in. Where were you in the house?
I was sitting on the couch in the living room. But usually, you can hear if she was going to be walking out of her room.
So you can hear people coming in your house too.
Yeah,
just like Casey's. All right, so and you didn't hear her, and did she say anything to you?
Yeah, well, my eyes are closed, and I wasn't, like, the couch was not even pointed towards where she was coming from.
Oh,
and
boy.
She was just like, "Are you okay?" And I just stopped really quickly, and I was like, "Yeah." And I'm hoping she just thought maybe I was.
I got to tell you something, Ashley. Even in my most reckless days, I never thought to bring the show down to the living room.
No.
I never thought, hey, let me do this in the front hallway.
Unless everybody's out of town.
Right. Unless everyone's dead. If everyone's died in an Amtrak
you're okay.
train explosion and I've gone to the funerals, exhumed the body, and confirmed their deaths. No.
Then the living room's okay.
Right. Then the living room's okay. Otherwise, upstairs.
Were you naked or were you wearing clothes?
But I just had, like, my hand down.
Okay. Like Al Bundy.
By the way, intern Rush was a candy striper about 4 years ago.
Okay.
So I guess they may still do that from time to time. Let me go to...
This is such a... So many wonderful stories.
We got a Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Rob. What's going on, man?
Hey, I was a few years ago. I went out clothes shopping with my... sister, she's about 2 years younger than I am, and my ex, when we came back to my house, she walked in the door first, and my ex-fiance now, was sitting there in the living room on her computer watching a video of her and I that we had made playing with a rabbit. Next thing I know, my sister goes running out the door, right, pushes me out of the way, starts puking in the front yard.
No.
What the F is wrong with you people?
Really?
She. I'm calling mom.
Are you straight up here, Rob, that she threw up?
Right in the front yard.
That's awesome.
Are you guys, like, hideous or something? Or
no, because she... Because when she walked in, the way the computer screen was, you could see it from the front door, so she saw...
She saw you.
...of my ex-fiance...
Yeah.
Wow.
And she could see the video of you two together. See, now it's her own brother. So
yes.
I don't know about vomiting, but that's, you know, I wouldn't say what's wrong with you people. I mean,
Rob, send us the video and we'll see if
we'll
verify. Vomit.
Yeah. No comment from Rob. Wow.
You've never made a video with the wife, have you?
No. God, no. The last thing I want to see
is the dumbest thing
doing that stuff.
Oh, my God.
Can
you imagine how, if we don't look good in like the ABC video, can you imagine what you're going to look like in a sex video?
If I saw that.
Wow.
If I saw myself doing that.
It would stick in your mind for next time you
Hey, I don't know. Maybe I look great at it. I kind of doubt it. But if
you don't look great,
on the off chance that I didn't, it would be stuck with me every time I went to go.
Here's
do
the
it.
Deal: you don't look great, and I look worse.
Yeah.
So I can guarantee no one looks good. Even guys who do it professionally don't look good.
Well, even if you're at a hotel or and there's a mirror and you kind of like catch a glimpse.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I don't want
right,
to see
exactly.
that.
Right. Exactly.
I put a sock over the time readout on the Comcast box because I don't want the room lit up. I just want to.
Yeah. Right. You and your wife, don't you take the mattress off the bed?
Oh, we did in a hotel. Oh, talk about being able to hear people. It was actually, it was in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, really thin walls.
A couple of times we've done it. It's, and I took the mattress off the bed and put it on the floor.
Yeah.
Because we would have blown, we would have blown right through the wall.
Right.
Steve, how many times do the cats work their way into the bedroom for you guys?
Constantly.
Do they really?
Yeah. It's now we have to just pick and choose the times because it's so, it's you know, few and far between because of the schedule, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, the it's really it's if you imagine banging Dr. Doolittle, and that's what it's like. I mean, there was the one time the cat came in, Claire had done up the whole thing with the rose petals and the you know the whole deal, and we're getting ready to go, and I hear off to the side of the bed, and our big tabby Mac, our big cat, you know, he's over to the side. He's wolfed down like nine of the petals, and I'm naked doing the Heimlich on.
Oh, he's eating the petals.
He's eating the petals,
choking
and
on
they
him.
Had sealed off his throat. So I'm pulling, you know, midsection on the cat, and then it totally kills the mood because now I'm calling up the vet saying, "Can they die from eating rose petals?"
Right. Claire was probably upset about the cat.
Yes, yeah, we both. And it killed it.
Steve, do me a favor, play the clip again of the two people going at it. Somebody texted, want to know, is that what it sounds like at Casey's house?
No.
No.
Nope.
All right, well, anyway, the Fred Willard thing, I want to see. He says that it was a misunderstanding. He has all the respect in the world for police officers, but he said it was a misunderstanding.
Did I catch it incorrectly? Does he not only say it was a misunderstanding, that he wasn't there?
They asked if he was there, and he said no. Here's the clip.
What did you say about the arrest last night?
Yes, it's all being straightened out.
It's all being straightened out.
It's all being straightened out.
Did the police going to court?
Great misunderstanding.
Okay. Yeah. Did the police treat you nicely? Were they rough?
I have great respect for them. It's just that there's difference of opinion. It's all being straightened out as we speak.
I see. And was it the first time, or this is just something?
Yeah, no. It was a strange situation, and I have great respect for them. It's just that one of those situations that this was wrong. It did not happen.
It did not happen. You were you there though at all?
No.
It did not happen. And were you there? He says, no.
Nuh-uh.
All right. So we'll have to see about that. All right. Well, we got to take a break. We'll return. Stay down.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Well, apparently only honor students in southern China can study in classrooms equipped with air conditioning systems.
Only honor students?
Yes. Shenzhen Bini Middle and High School only fit classrooms where the smartest students to study with AC units.
So you're stupid and sweaty if you can't cut it.
Yeah, other classes are left to make do with...
stupid and I'm hot.
They're left to make do with fans, and according to the report, students in regular classes try to use their own money to buy air conditioning systems. But the plan was rejected by school's administrators.
Oh, that's sad.
Students also reportedly offer to pay for the electricity costs.
Did you guys have air conditioning in your schools?
Oh, yeah.
No, not in all of them. No. Oh, no. We would have those big, you know, prop-like fans, though. Mm-hmm.
Two you rooms, guys? Case. The library yep. and the nurse's office.
Yes.
That was it.
Exactly.
Must have been older schools that you went to.
You had AC?
Mine was newer. Oh, yeah.
Lucky, yeah.
Every school I've ever been to is...
We actually had poor Chinese students fanning us.
That's terrible.
Well, are they getting paid, or...
No.
Let's see here. There's a New Zealand television show called Target, and I don't know exactly what kind of show it's about, but it's been on the air for 14 years, and apparently no one was prepared for last night's shocking episode, not even the producer. A supposed carpet cleaner, I think this is where they put a hidden camera in somewhere.
Okay.
A supposed carpet cleaner was caught on camera pleasuring himself to internet pornography and finishing into a pair of the Target actress's underwear.
Whoa!
Oh my God.
is facing charges of burglary and willfully accessing a computer.
I have no underwear on.
Producer Simon Roy of Top Shelf Productions said when he saw the tapes, he was in disbelief. He said, we really weren't...
That was for episode 7!
He said, we really weren't expecting that. Mr. Roy confirmed the underwear the man repeatedly sniffed on last night's show and did his business in did indeed belong to the actress who hasn't met him since leaving the house prior to the sting. The show's technician saw what the tradesman was up to in a live feed from the house and alerted producers immediately.
When is this show on?
When is it on?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's on in New Zealand.
Got to get a copy of it.
The man appeared in Manukau District Court yesterday. Yvetta Wright said she was puzzled when she got a call early Monday from her son. Not long before, at around 11:30 p.m. Sunday, she had dropped off Clifton J.R. Barkin at his house after taking him to Walmart to buy flowers and a Mother's Day card for Paige Parkerson, the mother of Barkin's two small children. Now, when she answered the phone, she said Parkerson was on the line, and she said Paige told me she killed J.R. and that he was dead. Wright said later she sped back over to her son's house, but it was too late. Barkin was stabbed several times and died just after midnight in the backyard of his yellow house. Wright said she believes that Parkerson expected a more expensive gift for Mother's Day, such as jewelry, and that's why she killed him.
Wow.
Parkerson is being
held in
county jail on a first-degree felony murder charge with bail set at $75,000.
Not for anything, but I think Steven Singer had some good options.
Yeah.
You know?
For not that
could have saved his life.
Newly discovered circular carvings that are most likely meant to represent female genitalia have been recorded as the oldest rock art ever found in Europe.
Wow.
The carvings resembling the vulva were uncovered at a site called Arby Castanet in France. They are believed to be about 37,000 years old.
Whoa.
The findings have been published in the journal.
What was the name of it? Arby Castanet?
Yeah, that's the name of the area, the site. The findings have been published in the Journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The creators of the carvings were a group called the Arugnations. The first humans in Europe. They are known to have painted, sculpted, and made carvings. The vulva shapes may reflect the Arugnations' preoccupation with fertility and the mystery of birth.
How cool that they were perverts.
It looks like an upside-down Pac-Man.
It does, yeah. Or an on and off diagram for a computer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Homo sapiens did not leave any traces of art until about 40,000 years ago, so the Arugnations' work is believed to be groundbreaking.
Come here. I threw a vagina.
And then finally we'll wrap up with this. Police in Windsor, Ontario are on a disgusting stakeout. They're waiting for a man accused of stealing and swallowing a $20,000 diamond ring to have a bowel movement. The 52-year-old man allegedly swallowed the diamond when he realized a sharp jewelry salesperson and police were on to him at Precision Jewelers. Sergeant Brent Corey said the man is being kept in a special cell without a toilet.
Yeah, this is what they do.
He said, we are monitoring his bowel movements, if you will. Our forensic identification people are the lucky ones who have to go through the waste to obtain the diamond once it passes. The man is charged with theft of over $5,000 after he allegedly stole the diamond on May 10th.
That's a rookie's job, right?
Swallowed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have to be, right?
Dude, you're the newest.
Yeah, you got to do
it. You're on poop detail.
And there you go. That's what I got in the B-files. So we'll come back. Stay there.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Muse. Contours.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And what do you have going for us today, Steve?
Well, Mariah Carey just became the highest paid judge in reality television because her 1-year deal with American Idol is worth $18 million.
Wow.
Carey says that in addition to being able to discover the stars of tomorrow, she's really looking forward to buying 100 gorillas.
No way.
Rumors are abounding that Kanye West will propose to Kim Kardashian the day after her divorce to Chris Humphries is finalized. Kanye says he can't wait to start his forever relationship with Kim in the freshly burned rubble of her disgraceful second marriage. Yeah. And finally, Kate Gosselin was reportedly pitching a dating reality show where she tries to find the perfect man who can love her and her eight kids. Right now, the show is being pitched under the title Kate, the Eight, and the Most Miserable Man on Earth. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
Steve sent over this story. Interesting. I haven't had a chance to read through the whole thing, but you give me the gist of it, Steve. The story goes as follows. It could cost U.S. employers between $2 billion and $4 billion to comply with an obscure Americans with Disabilities Act regulation meant to protect workers who are gun-shy in public restrooms, meaning if you can't pee in front of other people, you might fall under the Americans with Disabilities Act.
In other words, they would have to pay to create a situation where you would feel comfortable urinating while at work or defecating.
Paruresis, I guess is how you say this, more commonly known as shy bladder syndrome.
Yeah.
Qualifies as a disability under the amended Americans with Disability Act. That's according to information discussed in a letter.
I bet the dude in the wheelchair with the respirators is, oh, I guess we're brothers.
Right.
Because
you're
pee shy.
Yeah. Right. It said here the International Paruresis Association defines the odd affliction as the inability to urinate with others present. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the gold standard of psychiatrics, categorizes it as a social phobia that affects roughly 7% of the population, approximately 17 million Americans.
Now, I have to be honest. There have been years ago, I was pee shy. I just it would throw me off. Now I could take a dump in the urinal; it'd be no problem. But
but you still prefer the stall, right?
Sometimes, okay. Yeah. If I want to sit down, I want to go through my pockets. I want to do balloon animals. I got to use a stall.
Read a paper.
You know, scrimshaw. But whatever I'm doing, the stall's a little more. That's me time. But I do know, we were talking about this earlier, Preston, we used to work at a place that had the optimum bathroom for someone who was pee shy. It was basically like a converted house.
Yeah.
And the bathroom was like an upstairs bathroom in a house.
All three bathrooms were.
With a shower.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the whole damn deal. And
it was a private bathroom.
Private bathrooms.
Yeah. I really appreciated that. And we've talked about bathroom etiquette around here all the time.
Yeah.
But I will, if I gotta sit down and do my business. I don't have a problem, you know, peeing next to somebody. It does not bother me at all.
You do like the divider, though, don't you?
Yes,
I do.
I prefer the divider.
Yeah.
But when I need to take a seat and spend a few moments of me time, I need to be alone.
Yeah.
I need to be alone. I go and
dropping the kids off at the pool.
There are four different bathrooms that I will circulate to until I find one. That's
in this building?
In this building.
Do you go upstairs?
Yes.
Okay.
As my preferred.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Because your preferred used to be down at the end of the hall in the bathroom that I tore the door off the stall.
I hate that bathroom.
But they have three toilets in there.
I forgot you tore the door off.
I did.
Dude, I had the other day when we flew out to L.A., Steve.
Yeah.
I had to go and use the airport bathroom. Dude, uh-oh. They're always packed.
Yeah.
Always. And every single stall. This is while we were in L.A.
And not only are they packed, and I had to see you're hearing stuff.
People are making noises next door. You know, I'm like, dude, I can't do this.
But that bathroom down the hall, I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but the toilet is way too low to the ground. It's like a little kid's toilet.
Where? It is. And you're talking about the latrine, right?
Yeah.
The latrine is down, like, below your knees.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Peter Dinklage show.
I don't prefer that one.
Right.
But I do. I like going upstairs. However, every time I walk by the insurance company up there, I think they're looking at me going,
there he is.
Why is he coming up here using our bathroom?
Well, Lush, who does all the imaging here, will go home to go to the bathroom.
He's like Finch.
Yeah.
Out of American Pie.
He will
go
home.
Yeah. I have a friend like that as well.
Yeah, I do too. They go home from work.
Mind you, though.
Go poopy.
For me, it'd be like, I'll be back in an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to drive back to Harleysville. Daddy's home!
There's a bathroom at the Link where my friends sit up high in the 200 levels, and there is a private bathroom that not a lot of people know about. It's
open like open to the general public?
Yeah, it's really meant for family bathrooms, I guess, if you need to change a diaper or you got a kid going or whatever. But it's just one toilet. And a changing table.
Well, let me ask you the etiquette on that, because I'll use the family bathroom. There's one at Citizens Bank Park, too. And I'll use it because of the private nature of it. And obviously, if there's like a family waiting to get in, they get first dibs. But
sure.
It's cool for,
me to go in there too, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not
yes.
just for families.
What you should do, just to validate your reason for being in there, is instead of using the changing table to change a baby, make a sandwich on it.
Okay. Yeah. Or maybe I could just find a random
some cold
kid.
Cuts. Yeah.
Take,
here, come in here. Yeah. Go with that nice man into the bathroom. He wants to see your genitals.
Going back to the pee shy thing, and that's what this Americans with Disability Act letter is all about. Is it that they literally can't go at all when somebody's in there, or it just takes a little while to get going?
Some people can't literally are. It's such a phobia that they can't go, that they it becomes uncomfortable for them. However, you know, get over it.
I was going to say it takes a little while because...
Or wait till the bathroom is empty, right?
Well, you know what the thing is if it's so quiet, I could understand this. Like, you know what I mean? It's so quiet and you're like, okay, and you're trying to...
We've said for years... Just put some music in there.
Yeah.
Just put
sweet
some music in there.
Jesus, is that so impossible? It's such a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Put in, you have a TV and Muzak in the elevator.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
So why not put Muzak on in the bathroom to avoid that and all that other screaming and breathing and wincing and all that stuff that just makes you uncomfortable?
How many radio stations are in this building?
Yeah, listen, we'll sign off on the rights. I'm sure John Fulham would allow it to be licensed to the bathrooms. Just so you don't have to hear the dude next to you blow out his O-ring.
Talking about even like urinating, like it to get started. If it's like so quiet in there,
mm-hmm. Kathy, let me tell you what I do.
Difficult.
I go in. You got to time it. You're beep, beep, beep. You know someone's going to come to the door. Okay, let her rip. Bombs away.
Right.
Someone's going to go up and they're going to flush. So you time out your discharges based on room activity. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No.
More quiet than a Christian Science reading room.
Yeah. One of our interns is pee shy, and I found this out because he had gone into the bathroom way before me. I went in, did all of my business, washed my hands, and then he finally had finished. I was like, wow, you went for a really long time there. And I was making the comparison to Nick, and he's like, yeah, you know, I just, you know, I get a little pee shy, and, you know, so he couldn't do it because I had walked in there. But my question is, at a certain point, you can't hold it anymore, right? No matter how shy you are.
It can cause physical damage.
Yeah.
It can. Yeah. But I are you prepared, Preston, to believe that it's such an insurmountable issue that a business needs to pony up?
I don't know,
To put in...
I mean, I know that...
I mean, in other words, I wonder what level, going back to your other question... When you're that pee shy, can you, in other words, will a stall get the job done, or do you have to be in a completely isolated bathroom of your own?
That's a good question. I don't know. I would imagine in some severe cases, you'd have to be completely alone, you know?
Is the onus on the business, though, to accommodate that?
I don't think so.
No, once you do this, then it opens the floodgates to anybody who has any sort of condition, whether it be like an OCD condition you know what I mean? So
it's a little crazy. Easy, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
I would imagine that, unless it's an emergency, you can probably find somewhere else to go, you know?
I think so.
But it depends on
what are potted plants for?
It depends on what your office environment is as well, because here we have multiple choices. There's some people that might have one choice, and that's it, and there's no getting around it.
Yeah.
I just remember, do you remember it worked at Y100 in Conchi? And we're doing a live radio show, and bathroom breaks have to be timed out, and they're tricky.
Oh, yeah.
And this, man, it was a marathon.
Other side of the building.
Other side of the building to get to the bathroom, and it was not easy to do.
And you'd have to run by a cubicle farm where there was, they had a wall of windows. So they turned their one wall in the hallway into all windows so they could see out the windows that were on the other side of the hallway.
And that was us jogging by
They would see us, Jesse Owensing it, right past the window to get to the bathroom.
Yeah, hang on, let's go to some calls. I have Bill. Hey, Bill, good morning, sir.
What's up? You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's going on, bud?
Good roll.
All right. I'm not really pee shy, but the worst place I think for someone is, I mean, I have a problem going to the bathroom in stadiums because they got those open stalls and you see everything out there. Those
stadiums?
The
we were talking about troughs the other day.
Yeah.
I don't dig it. And there was a time where I probably would have had extreme difficulty doing it, but not anymore.
Don't have any partitions at the link.
I don't like that. There's,
really?
And we talk about the Full Metal Jacket scene where they're at Paris Island, and it's just toilet after toilet. I mean, for the full compliment, and there's no partition between you and the dude next to you.
It's like 50 toilets in a room and no partitions at all.
I think the mindset is if you're going to lay your life down for the guy next to you, you should be able to handle, you know,
taking a dump
next to him.
Oh, and I hate walking into a bar and listen, I will sit down to go to the bathroom pretty much anywhere except for like a porta pot unless I really, really have to. But when you go into a bar that doesn't have a door on the stall, whether
like
it's ripped off or I don't know why they don't have one on there.
Say you know someone got it, went in and was angry and ripped the door off.
Yeah. You know what I love is Triumph. Triumph's bathroom.
The best.
They're all, it's unisex, and they're all single.
Yeah.
Own little
so nice.
Self-contained bathroom. And
it's like a little
like
vacation.
There's like 20 of them, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It is a little confusing, though. I was in there one time, and this guy walked in. He was like, am I supposed to be in here? What's happening? What do
I
do?
Tell you, when I'm done peeing, I'll come out and tell you.
Yeah.
Listen, Chuck has showed me a technique that absolutely works when you are having difficult time getting started, whether it be for any reason. Sometimes you can be alone, and it's just like, come on. It's just not happening. The thing is, you're concentrating too much on it. And he told me this, and I thought it was kind of a joke, but I used it one time, and sure enough, it works. If you think, and he uses long division, if you think of long division or a very difficult math problem, one that's not unsolvable, but one that's very, very hard, you know, 14 into 357.
Okay.
You're going to have to stop and think about it for about 5 or 6 seconds while you're thinking about it.
Boom.
Loosen up and you start going.
Really?
It really
I'm
works.
Trying to do the problem thing, and it I don't know. I just, maybe I'll try it.
I don't even have to try that, though. It's,
I mean, I'm good now.
Never.
I don't. Never. Yeah, not anymore.
Let me see here.
Learn from my story.
I'm going to go to Susie. Hi, Susie. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
My twin sister is totally pee-shy. Like, I'm talking going to a restaurant, going into the bathroom. No one's in the bathroom. I have to run the water for her. Yeah. I have to talk to her. If she can't go, we'll go back out. We'll go back in, run the water.
So, Susie, it's a team effort to get your sister to pee?
Yes. And she's like, talk to me. I mean,
well, what are you saying to her?
Pee.
I get frustrated at first. I'm like,
piss already.
I pee right there in the parking lot.
Right.
And at first, I'm like, I'm running the water. There's nobody coming in. Is there anyone here? Did someone walk in? I'm like, no one walked in. I'm blocking the goddamn door.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, I can't even deal with it anymore. Take some Xanax and go to the bathroom.
And so even the running water doesn't help.
Nope. Even to the point where she will get, like, you know, urinary tract infections and stuff like
that. Oh, wow.
Susie, tell her to try the long division trick.
I will, but she's so, you know, ADD.
She's not good at math.
She's neurotic. She can't
I'm
stop.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that.
Right. See that way at home, too, Susie?
Not at her house, but at other people's houses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not at my house, but maybe a friend's house.
Yeah.
You know, I'm standing in there. Or I'm standing outside blocking the door.
Wow.
And
that's tough, man.
I know. Then even when you're drinking and you have to go so bad because you drank, like, you know, a six-pack, she just sits there.
Wow.
And she... Yeah.
Let me ask you, Susie, would she have this... I mean, would she be able to be quicker to defecate over urinate? I'm using medical terms.
Yes.
In other words, do you think in a pinch situation, I'm using that liberally, would she be able to, if she had to, do number two before number one in that same situation?
I wouldn't think so, but we went to Helium, I don't know, like last year or whatever. We went to the bathroom at one of the restaurants, and it was just me and her. I was blocking it, and I'm like, what the hell is that smell? And she's like, I had to go to the bathroom really bad. And I said, how about a courtesy flush? I'm like, you can go number two, but you can't go number one.
I was wondering. That's a force of nature you can't.
Yep.
You have less control over.
Interesting.
You would think you would have more control.
I wonder if there's a biological thing, not just a mental thing.
Well, I don't know. She's pretty mental. Like, you know, she's anxious and she worries. And when you said something like an OCD or like it's a phobia, I think it's more of a phobia.
You know, I think of the TV series Monk and, all the things that he had to have in place. And I know people are like that, you know, that they get, it's got to be just so. It has,
sure.
Preston, in the movie Night Shift. Henry Winkler's girlfriend has to have
all these
things,
the bed
right? And, all these things in place
before they can
do it. Yeah.
I've had moments where, like, I've woken up in the middle of the night, gone to the bathroom, and I was just about to go, and then I'm like, wait a second, am I dreaming right now? You know, because if I'm dreaming, I'm totally going to be peeing in my bed.
I just peed on my dad.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry. I don't even live here anymore.
You kiss him on the forehead.
I drove to your house.
I drove to your house to piss on you.
We'll talk about it in the morning.
I've had those moments of confusion, Casey, where you're not quite sure what's going on, and you don't know where you are, and you're like, all right, did I? All right. I did. I just peed my... No, I didn't pee myself.
Nick, right. I dated a girl one time whose brother, she was in her room. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. The brother was a little bit slow, but really great kid. He comes into her room. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. He pulls the drawer open on her desk, pisses in the drawer.
He was dreaming, right?
Closes it. Yes.
Yeah. But, it's happened.
And she's looking like, what?
Yeah, there are many, many stories we've heard of people using the hamper, stuff like that. Either being drunk or dreaming.
Yeah.
And it happens.
Yeah, my roommate my freshman year, he had that issue when he was drinking.
Right.
I remember waking up one morning, it was the middle of the night, and he was peeing in the corner of the room where, like, the door is. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? He's like, yeah, I'm just going to the bathroom.
Mini-Me.
Yeah.
Do we have the sound of Mini-Me?
Oh, yeah.
He comes in his little scooter. This is the surreal life.
Right.
And
Vern Troyer.
Comes in his little scooter, pulls into the corner of the room, and starts taking a whiz.
Well, he finished going, and then he opened up the door and went to the bathroom. That was, like, the weirdest part.
And he was drunk off his ass.
I don't know if this is it or not. Let's try.
Next time.
No, that's not it.
All right, hang on. Let me go to Mark here. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, been come to know that.
Me too, man. What's up, bud?
Casey, you're right. That's the worst, when you don't know if you're asleep or not.
Yeah.
I suffer from this horribly debilitating condition of not being able to pee when around other people.
Okay.
It's the kind of thing that it's not that it's difficult. You just can't effing do it.
Right.
If you go, like, on a seventh inning stretch or something, I've been at, like, Citizens Bank Park, and I'll go into the bathroom when there's 90 other people in there, and you're just standing there like, okay, come on, let's go. And then you end up just kind of walking away, until another time when it's not busy, because there's never a stall available.
I have to ask, though, Mark, of your level of urgency, have you been drinking beers? Because, you know, once you have a few beers, you got to go, dude. You're going, you know?
It depends. If you're getting to that point where you just can't hold it anymore, where you're about to basically let yourself, you can overcome it much more easily. But there have been times in a public restroom where I've had to go really, really, really bad, and it just all of a sudden, when I'm standing there and I know there's other people in the room, I don't have to go anymore.
Mark, do you feel the eyes upon you? Is it something like that?
It's like they're burning into the back of my skull. Like, hurry up and get away from the urinal. But if I can get into a stall, I will actually stand there and wait. I'll pass 6 turns at a urinal to get a stall.
Okay.
Well, but the stall.
Once I'm in there and I close the door, I'm good.
Okay, so the stall provides an option.
Yes.
Yeah. No. When I was pee shy years ago, I would just wait for the stall. But
now, Mark, have you tried this? You know, distracting yourself, using a thought like the long division thing.
Well, when I was at the example I gave at Citizens Bank Park, I tried thinking about baseball stats, and it did nothing for me at all.
Try counting sheep. Oh, wait, that's a false thing.
I'm going to try the division thing because I'm you know, public bathrooms are kind of the bane of my existence.
Well, okay. I feel your pain. I know that it's well, let me ask you, Mark, do you think businesses should be compelled to accommodate people who are pee shy?
The problem is it sets a very tough precedent.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have to force, if business owners have to be forced to accommodate, frankly, something that's annoying but not a major issue, in my opinion, as somebody who actually suffers from this terrible disability, it's not something that business owners should have to go so far out of their way for. I mean, get a stall. You know, just stand there and wait for a few minutes. It's not going to kill you or get you fired because you had to wait for a stall and it burned 3 minutes of your day.
Right. Interesting. All right, Mark, thanks for that perspective, man.
Here we go.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day, guys.
You too, man. There it is. That's Vern Troyer. Let it go to the end because he really wigs out here at the end.
I'm going to get him on.
He's there rolling back and forth, his little body going, all right, I'm all right. He's saying, I'm all right.
Is that what he's saying?
All right, all right, all right. All right.
I'm going to get him on.
God.
That's wild.
His bladder's full.
That's a good name.
Full of urine.
Wow. Hang on a second. Let me go to Tom. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Morning, guys. You rock.
Yeah. Oh,
what's up?
Hey, I have a friend who has this type of ailment, and he wound up losing his job because of it.
Okay, so...
How so?
Yeah.
Well, we have a job where we're subject to random drug testing.
Okay.
And he... apparently, if you go for a drug test, if you get nabbed for a drug test, as we call it, once they have you, you can't leave until you provide a sample. And he wound up not being able to provide enough of a sample.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
That constituted...
Trying to evade the test.
Refusing the test.
No yeah.
kidding.
I would imagine that that's the anomaly, though.
And they have to, there's got to be a witness.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you can bring in urine from somebody else.
Yep.
Yeah, or apple juice or what, yeah.
Yeah.
Not apple
juice. They'd probably figure that out.
Yeah.
Well, John, could you come into the office?
We did a check on your sample, and you're an apple. What? You're an apple. You work in the human world, but you genetically are an apple. What?
Now we're a little perplexed on how to handle that, you know.
You'd have to go into HR and ask for Manny. He handles our produce.
By the way, Steve, this instant message came in and said, Steve is to bathroom theology as Hawking is to black holes.
Thank you, sir.
I bet Steve's IQ and bathroom knowledge is at least 175.
That's my one claim to fame. I will do that.
Well, that's a bit much with the disability thing, man.
I think everyone wants to be a victim of some sort.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to sort of lose that mentality.
Yep.
You can beat it. I'm a perfect example.
You can beat it, Steve.
I'm like, yes, yep. I came back.
Yep. All right, why don't we take a break? We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll get into more of whatever we're getting into. So stay right there.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
Now. 93.3 WMMR. Now. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.